This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors: white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah, no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to amazon.com/sensible portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's amazon.com/sensible portions.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Randy Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy that believes butterflies are dead relatives just saying hi. Hello, I'm Randy Bailey, and welcome to episode 3 of Survivor 41 Recap Podcast, the podcast that we do every week on a Thursday with an alumni of the television show Survivor. And today, we have two special guests, both alumni from the great show. We're going to speak with everyone's favorite from Survivor Africa, Teresa T-Bird Cooper, and the king of podcasting himself. Some say the best Survivor player to never win, and all say the best podcaster in the business. It's Rob Cesternino.
Today on our Survivor Season 41, minus the 4, Episode 3, I have the extreme pleasure to familiarize you with the guy we were first introduced to at the young age of 24 from Wantagh, New York. But the real fascinating story is told by his adorable mom, Roseanne, is he was born with a mic in his hand. He was just 2 years old when his, quote, on-the-job training began. His mom would put him in front of the TV, crank his swing, which she said would last about 15 minutes, and he would watch game shows. He learned about numbers and colors from card sharks. He loved Beat the Clock, but it was The Price is Right with the spinning wheels, noises, and bells that captivated this young child. Bob Barker became his mentor and teacher. The two-foot stick Bob Barker was holding, the microphone, helped lock his career choice into place for this youngster. He would create his own game shows where he was the host using spoons, rulers, whatever he could find as his mic. He hated Saturdays because cartoons would take the place of his game shows. He found watching TV a form of escape when struggling to make friends was a challenge. He would get a Bachelor of Arts in Broadcasting at Oswego State University, writing his college thesis on, quote, the impact of reality television, how Survivor and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire changed broadcasting, end quote. In the spring of 2002, he applied for Big Brother, but casting had another plan and put him on Survivor, the Amazon. He made it to day 38, even after telling every lie he could. The experience was worth the price of admission. For a guy who has said he lived in his parents' basement and was not getting the girls, his luck was already changing. He would meet Nicole, the love of his life, through his sister Lisa at one of his Survivor viewing parties. 5 months later, he would get the call to play a second time on Survivor All-Stars. Although he would be voted out after 12 days, he would remain a memorable character, and his approach to said was the smartest player to never win. He would return to his desk job, and although he had Nicole in his life, he would go through some dark days. He was desperate for change. He moved to Los Angeles, worked on some interesting projects, but lost his job in 2008 with the economic crash, and entered 2009 with no career prospects. He was turning 30. He said he felt like a failure, a loser. and that nothing had turned out right. He then decided to focus on his passion. He started blogging, bought the domain name Rob Has a Podcast, got his microphone from his PlayStation 3, and after another mentor, Bill Simmons, he began interviewing. He started with Nicole and his friends. He was on his way, learning audio, editing, creating his website, doing his own marketing, and booking his own guest. Now, married to his soulmate, Nicole, since 2010, they are raising their two sons, Dominic, born in 2013, or as I am told, his mini-me, and Anthony, born in 2015. Describing himself as mischievous, hilarious, and creative, he has proven that if you have the passion, the drive, the tenacity, the focus, and a strong support team, you can make your dreams come true. Inducted into the 2012 Survivor Hall of Fame and now winner of 5 People's Choice Podcast Awards, his almost 88,000 Twitter followers are happy he never gave up on his dream of broadcasting. Lover of the New York Mets, the New York Jets, he has been known to step down for pizza and makes any important decisions in his life with the help of his trusted 8-Ball. I introduce to you the king of podcasting, who his mom told me just today needs to have his voice insured with the Lloyd's of London because of his commitment to his listenership. Turning 43 years old on October 20th, my boss, my mentor, my friend, my inspiration, Robert Christopher Sesternino.
Wow, what an intro, T-Bird.
I know, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Rob,
T-Bird.
I have had, yes.
This is the longest I've ever gone into a podcast without talking.
I know, Rob, well, so I'm only glad that I had a short window to pull this together because I kept, you know, I kept cutting it down and cutting it down. And I thought, I can't hit, there's so much about you to tell the story of how you got from where you started. It, like, your mom told me you weren't even 2 years old and you already knew the direction you wanted your life to go in, which is fascinating. There's so much to tell about you. You are amazing. You're fascinating. And this intro could not be any shorter. As a matter of fact, it should have been longer, but there it is.
Yes. Well, T-Bird, first of all, thank you so much. That was amazing. That I sent T-Bird a message yesterday and said, oh, maybe it'll be funny if you introduce me on the podcast. And that's how we got here. So T-Bird, phenomenal job. I did not know you were going to call my mom. And I mean, this is almost like when I was in school that my mom would get phone calls on what I was doing. But hopefully she didn't think I was in trouble, T-Bird.
Your mom, Roseanne, is a delight. I enjoy talking to her. I talked to her for 20, 25 minutes at least. I could have talked to her longer.
I'm sure she was thrilled.
She is absolutely wonderful. She is so proud of you. How could she not be? I asked her what she was most proud of about you. And she said, which makes complete sense, she's so proud of your success that you made something out of nothing and that you took and that you took risk, Rob. And she said, that's what every mom wants to see. And she said he doesn't work a day in his life because he loves what he does. So, I mean, you're very difficult to find anything about. There's so much about you already out there, you know, all over the internet. So to have the opportunity to talk to your mom, to get some feedback on how you were as a child, really puts it in perspective. So it was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Some would say that I am in arrested development and am still a child.
I think you are still a child. No, well, you're doing something you love every day. So absolutely.
That I get to have a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great thing. And this is so cute. Your mom was so cute. I asked her, you know, if you were a good kid, of course you were, but she said, what she did, if you were doing something wrong or you needed to be punished, she would tell you, she said, don't make me punish you and make you go outside.
Yeah, you remember that. Because, yeah, vividly. Yeah.
Because obviously, I mean, you liked, you know, like she said, you liked the bells and the whistles and the TV and when computers started coming in. I mean, that's what you gravitated towards. And it looks like it's paid off.
Look at me, T-Bird. I had to go live outside to get my life changed in the right direction.
Well, you know, I asked your mom actually how, you know, she thought you would do on Survivor. And she's like, well.
Yeah, they didn't think I was going to do good.
Well, okay, this is a complete mom answer. She said she was shocked to know that you were going on Survivor, but Rob, remember, you had applied for Big Brother.
Yes, that's
where
true.
You were going to stay in a house, you were going to live in a house, and casting decided that wasn't going to work for them. So, but she did say, this is such a mom thing, Rob. She said, I was just actually afraid. She said, I was afraid he was going to get hurt. Mm. And I said, oh, Roseanne, I said, you mean hurt like emotionally? She goes, no, I thought physically he might get hurt.
Yeah. Look, there was a non-zero chance that was going to happen.
Well, you didn't, so it worked out. But she wasn't surprised how well you did. She just knew that wasn't, you know, you being outside. So considering you made it to day 38.
Yeah.
And you weren't, I guess we can pretty much safely say you weren't a camper.
No.
You weren't an outdoorsman.
Yeah, still not, T-Bird.
So, yeah, so I think that's amazing. Yeah. And then I wanted to tell you too, what she thinks your best characteristic is.
Yeah, what
is
that?
This really speaks volumes too. She said your honesty and your integrity.
Oh.
And then she said too, you know, in the offbeat career that you're doing where sometimes it's very challenging for you, you're still kept your honesty and your integrity, and you don't like controversy. You don't want to, you know, and of course I know that you like to stay in your comfort zone, and guess what she said? You don't like surprises. Huh? Who knew?
Well, this was a nice one. This was a nice surprise for me. I hope it's a nice surprise for the listeners. I will say we are going to talk about Survivor. So hang in there as well.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Were we supposed to talk about Survivor today?
Yes.
Hey, I got. Yes. Was I supposed to watch that last night? Well, Rob, this is what happened. I got sidetracked because yes, you asked me about doing the recap, but then right behind it, you said, "Hey, you know, what do you think about doing an intro?" Well, I was like all over. I'm like, "Oh, absolutely!" But I got side. I got, you know, I started working on that, so we'll come up with something for the recap.
Yes.
Absolutely. Hey,
no
listen,
doubt. You're teasing. You're teasing, T-Bird.
Yeah. Okay. So, and
T-Bird's ready to rolls out of bed, ready to talk about Survivor. In her sleep, right, she could do it.
That's right. So, Rob, yes, I can't wait to get onto that. But I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished roasting you yet. So
this is a roast?
How did you like the? Well, I don't know. We'll just call it that. How did you like the intro? How did you like
it? It was beautiful, T-Bird. You went above and beyond. There are a few people that would put that amount of work into doing something like that. So I greatly appreciate you as a friend, T-Bird. You are incredible. And I said it when we posted the last of the Talking with T-Birds from over the summer. You know, I'm very fortunate to have you in my life and to be able to make these podcasts with you because there's nobody else like you.
Oh, Rob, that's so sweet. But we're not talking about me. This is all about you. So I reached out to Randy because you and Randy have such amazing chemistry together on your podcast. I reached out to him. He immediately got right back to me. He's the one we were trying to brainstorm on what would be the best thing to do for you. He came up with the idea. Let me introduce y'all. I'm like, oh my gosh, Randy, that is absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. So thank you to Randy Bailey, who I love dearly and who
thank
thinks
you,
the absolute... He thinks the world of you, and I know you feel the same about him. He's our Survivor brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so now, because my intro wasn't long enough, I need for us to play clip two. Let's hear another shorter intro, but very special.
Here is the second clip T-Bird sent me.
Now introducing the man whose bones are made of microphones, his nostrils are filled with audio files, and his hair is full of secrets. It's the king of chatter, who's the biggest voice in the island podcast community. If you wanted to fly to Fiji and back, then back again, you could do so listening to all of his podcasts. It is my friend, Rob Cesternino. This is Hannah, in case you don't know. And if you still don't know, that's okay. Here he is.
My bones are made from microphones.
Well, I thought it was a great analogy because I actually got that clip from Hannah after talking to your mom.
Wait, was that, was she, mom, wait, no, she had to say that to get an idol.
I don't know. You mean Hannah had to say that to get an idol?
Yeah. Maybe, was that one of the secret phrases? His bones are made from microphones?
Wait a minute. Are we watching a different series? What are you talking about?
Sorry, go ahead, T-Birds. Go ahead.
Okay, so Hannah sent me that. And then, again, talking to your mom, and she was telling me about how you know, she's the one that told me that you would use microphones with rulers, with spoons, with sticks, anything you could find to make a microphone. And she's the one that actually said, and I remember this from back in the day, that when Bob Barker had that, like your mom said, that 2-foot microphone that really, that you were in. Mm-hmm. You were totally in. And then this is another cute thing too. So for people that don't know, Rob has a sister, Lisa, and a brother named Dan.
Yes.
And I think Dan's about 8.5 years younger.
Yes.
But you and Lisa are 2 years apart, just like Dominic and Anthony.
Yes.
And so listen to what your mom told me. Your mom said, and that Lisa's, you're an uncle. Obviously, you were already an uncle, but Lisa's just had a baby not too long ago.
Yes.
And
Ace.
She called your mom and said, "Mom, I've got a question for you. Is it bad? You know, is it wrong to put the baby in front of the TV?" And your mom right away said, "Lisa, are you serious? Have you not seen your brother? Have you not?" No, she said, "Have you not met your brother? Have you not met your brother?" I'm like, "Oh my God, that's priceless."
Mm-hmm.
That's priceless. So that's how that
came
together.
Maybe and then at that point she said, "Okay, oh, I got to not keep him in front of the TV."
No, I don't
want
think
it
she
to
did,
turn out okay.
Because I think they're all so super proud of you.
Yes.
Very, very
well,
proud.
T-Bird.
So let me ask.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm still going with this. And I know the listeners are equally as excited to hear this about you. So
maybe we could work in some of the Survivor.
Well, once we get into that, we'll get into that.
Okay.
We'll get into that. So I ask your mom if she watches Survivor. She does.
Yeah.
And well, this'll work us into it. So she said she hadn't watched it last night yet. She was doing something, but she's going to watch it. But she said it's getting a little confusing. So I'd say, yes, Roseanne, it is getting a little confusing because all these idols, beware idols, who's got an idol, who's got a vote. I've got an idol, but I don't get a vote. It's even last night when I was watching it with my mom now is 80 and my daughter's 25. Both of them were like, I don't even know what's happening right now. I'm not even sure what's happening with all these, who's got idols, who doesn't. So you really have to. You have to pay attention to what's going on. That's absolutely for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so your mom does watch Survivor. Ask her if she listens to your podcast. She does. I'm not sure she can listen to all of them.
Yeah, I don't know if she's listening to all of them. Yeah.
You're podcasting around the clock, but let me see if you know this, if you could answer this question that I asked your mom.
Okay.
I asked her if she could have you interview anybody who she would want you to interview. Let's see how well you know your mom.
What Survivor would my mom want me to interview?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Interview anybody.
Yeah, I asked your mom if you could interview anybody, because that's what you do. You're a broadcaster.
Yeah.
Who would she like to see you interview?
Maybe Jerry Seinfeld.
Nope.
No.
That's a good guess.
Am I in the right ballpark?
He's a musician.
A musician, Billy Joel?
Well-known musician in a group of four.
Oh, who does she want to hear me interview? Not who do I want to interview? Oh, Paul McCartney.
No. Yes.
Okay. That's good.
Yes, Paul McCartney. That's who she wants to see you interview.
Okay.
Hear you interview. So anyway.
Let's see if Sir Paul is watching Survivor this season. Oh, I'm happy to be here, bro.
You know what?
What's with all the odors?
Rob, do you know what? There are a lot of people out there that are out there that watch it. Like, I think I heard Jimmy Fallon talks about, yeah, he's a big watcher. I mean, I know there's a lot more.
Okay, and he knows Paul McCartney.
We can make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm thinking. We can absolutely make this happen. What are you thinking?
I mean, sure. I mean, like, it would be a big episode of Rob as a Podcast where we interviewed Sir Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Well, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on into something else. So anyway.
Tell him about the wand off. His mind is going to be blown.
What? Now what? Say that again. What did you just say?
T-Bird, when we tell Sir Paul McCartney about the wand off, that his mind is going to be blown.
Yeah, it's kind of like telling about the. Yeah, it's kind of like all the beware advantages. His mind's going to be blown when you try to describe that to him, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, absolutely. So anyway, Rob, you have done so many amazing things. Thank you so much for all the hard work that you put into it. We love you so much. You have touched so many people. I can tell you that right now. Let's go to clip number three.
Robert, baby boy, hello, it's your favorite, the one and only, it's the Purple Pants, Bryce Isaiah, and I am so excited to hear this episode with you and T-Bird, but listen, before y'all get to that, I had to stop by, and I wanted to give you some flowers. I wanted to give you a floral arrangement audio version. You know, on the Purple Pants podcast, I am really big on giving people their flowers, and you, sir, are deserving of all the purple flowers I can think of. I am so honored and blessed that you saw something in this third boot from Kagion, okay? You always listen to my stories when I borrow coffee from the coffee club when I get chased by a raccoon, and the list continues. Your big old heart and your efforts to continue to make these podcast waves more inclusive for voices like my own never ceases to amaze me. I am so proud and so honored not to call you my friend, but to call you my brother. Love you, baby boy.
Wow. That was really incredible. And, you know, I love Bryce so much that I just thought that he's one of the most entertaining people that I ever heard from the moment that, you know, I saw him on TV and got to talk to him. And, you know, he's even a more incredible person. And I think that you and he have a lot in common in terms of just, you know, how big your hearts are and how much positivity you both bring into the world. And that's something that I think that you and he, I don't know how much you two have ever talked, but I think that you two have a similar vibe in terms of like the positivity that you bring to the world.
Oh, wow. That's Rob. Thank you so much. From before I met Bryce, I felt a connection to him. And then I met him at Davey's premiere party down here in Atlanta. And I had been looking so forward to meeting him. And since then we have stayed in touch. He's on my phone. He's, you know, and I knew, again, like I mentioned earlier, I didn't have a whole lot of time to pull this together. probably a tactical
might be a blessing for, yes, the person that wants to hear about Survivor.
That's right. Definitely a tactical strategic error when you said, "Do I want to introduce you?" I'm like, "Oh yes," because Rob,
not an error, not an error. I appreciate it.
What I mean is this, what I told Sam, and Sam is the absolute wonderful guy that works next to you and gets everything in line. I said, Sam, this should have been a podcast all by itself because, you know, the number of people that I could have brought in talking to you and about you, because like I said, you have 88,000 yeah, Twitter followers and climbing.
Yeah, we're just early for my birthday. That's all, T-Bird. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, that's right. So you've touched so many of us. So thank you for that compliment. Again, the minute I reached out to Randy and Hannah and Bryce, immediately they got back with me. And it was last minute. I got a feeling they were doing something. I know they were all doing stuff, but they got it to us, to us right away. So anyway, that was wonderful. And yes. And not only are you touching us, the listeners, I do want to read something I think is kind of special because like your wonderful, beautiful wife, Nicole, told me, she said, most of Rob's life is public knowledge because he shares everything. So this is something that Nicole sent in. And as a father, I think it's really going to be powerful for you to hear. And for the listeners, whatever you do with your children and you don't know what an impact you make on them, just doing what you do. So here we go. Most recently, though, it's been clear he has created his own mini-me. Dominic shares his love of reality shows, and as work-life balance has been difficult for Rob, he is able to share the shows he loves to watch for the podcast with Dominic. Dominic is as enthusiastic about the shows, the game, and the strategy, just like his dad. Most nights, you can find Dominic sitting next to him in the podcast room watching Big Brother or The Circle with Rob. I pass the room and hear them discussing strategy together. It's a warm father and son moment. Dominic also shares Rob's affinity for board games and gets angry at his brother, Anthony, for quitting mid-game just like Rob did with his sister, Lisa.
Yeah.
That was from your beautiful wife, Nicole, talking about what a role model you are for your children and how Dominic appears to be coming right up into your footsteps. And that y'all share that special time together. I hope you're okay that I shared that with all the listeners.
Yes. No, and he seems to enjoy. I did show it to him, but I don't force it down his throat. He seems to be enjoying it. T-Bird, I started showing him the game within the game yesterday, and boy, he was hooked. So, you know, we laughed about the game within the game, but he couldn't get enough of the game within the game.
So, are you telling me that Dominic, 8-year-old Dominic, understands the beware advantages and all this different stuff?
No. The puzzles.
Oh, okay. Good. Because I was going to say if Dominic's already all over this beware advantages, I'm a little bit embarrassed myself. So okay,
Well, good. Yeah.
So I thought that was really a special thing that Nicole shared because we do know so much about you already. We do know you work hard. So for all you listeners, your mom and dads, it doesn't matter what you do. If you work a lot and you can spend time with your children and they see what you do, it's definitely a bonus, obviously, with what you're doing with Dominic. So I tell you what, blood versus water with you and Dominic, everybody, we could be in some trouble with those two.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I'll leave that to some other legendary survivors to go and do that at this point.
All right. Well, I know we're going to get into the recap. But before we do that, let's go with clip number 4.
Rob, this is Stephen Fishback. I have been asked to say a few words about what a great guy you are. And I think enough has been said already about what an incredible podcaster you are, what a great friend, how funny, how quick-witted. Mm-hmm. Enough. Mm-hmm. One aspect of you that I don't think gets enough praise is your incredible hairline. Rob, I am deeply envious and awed by your beautiful, youthful hairline. As a 42-year-old man, almost 43, you have the hair of a 13-year-old Wolverine. And it's just magnificent. In fact, in general, you have been aging in reverse. Somehow, you look more youthful and more handsome today than you did when we first started podcasting together, you know, 30 or 40 years ago or whenever it was.
Yeah.
I'm honored to be called upon to give this testimonial. You're a wonderful guy. You truly are so quick, so funny, so thoughtful, but really, most of all, so hairy. I mean, in a good way, like hairy as in like having a lot of great head hair on your head. Like, I don't know about, you know, yeah. I don't know about your chest, yeah. your yeah. back. I'm not familiar. Mm-hmm. Head. It's doing mm-hmm. great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. T-Bird. You got Stephen Fishback.
Stephen! Oh, my goodness. You're yeah. So, Rob, you are successful because of everything you've done, but you're also
Thank
successful
you,
with all these wonderful people that you surround yourself with, Randy, Hannah, Bryce, Stephen, mm-hmm. your beautiful queen of podcasting wife, Nicole, mm-hmm. and, of course, your mom has a lot to do with this because she brought you into this world. Thank you for everyone you've touched. I am honored to be podcasting with you and to call you friend.
Well, T-Bird, this was such a nice treat and an honor, and I really appreciate you going to all this work to record this very special episode of Rob as a Podcast.
Ah, it's great. Thank you for mentioning the introduction. I've been waiting to do this. I only wish that we had set aside a whole podcast for
yeah,
you
we could have done a talking with T-Bird with me when Survivor of the Amazon came on, and you could have interviewed me.
Well, that's true. Well, you yeah. didn't mention it, so yeah, I guess we should have done that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next All time. Right, next so time we go through the seasons.
Yeah, I got a feeling that's going to be a minute.
Okay. What about the 41st season?
Oh, yeah, the 41st season, 40, the 41st minus one. Isn't that what Jeff keeps saying? This is like the first
no,
season again?
I think that, yeah, I think it's drop the four, keep the one, not 40. 41st minus one is only going back to Winners at War.
Oh, God, I keep messing that up. That's what I meant to say. Just right
You're
there.
You're fine.
What you said. Yes.
Yeah.
That was my million dollar mistake. Is that a good segue? I don't know. I just, you know.
Yes.
So anyway. All right, so let's start talking about the recap number three. All right, so first of all, I want to say, before I get caught up in the beware advantages, I love this cast.
Yes.
I love this cast. There's so much character and personality to all of them. Unfortunately, I have not seen some of the ones that I really want to see because I know they're going to be fantastic once we actually see them. And they started out last night. The show started last night. I guess it was night five with Liana. And I guess I talked to Dalton and Devins and Brenda Shapiro
yes,
last week. Yes,
you were on the, Surviving Snyder
Surviving
podcast.
Snyder. Yes, they had me on for football. Come on, Rob. They had me on for football. And Rick knew exactly what he was getting. I said, Rick, what's the criteria for that? He goes, you live in Atlanta? I'm like, bam, there it is. And I've got the t-shirt.
Are you a football fan, T-Bird? I never hear you talk about the Falcons.
No, I don't.
Jets-Falcons this weekend, T-Bird. This is a big game.
Yeah. Are they playing New York?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right, in London. That's both of our teams. Well, you know what I'm saying. It is actually your team. And it mm-hmm. should be more my team. Are you going to be watching? I think it's like at 10
yeah.
in the morning.
It's at 9:30, yeah.
9:30 or 10, yeah. That should be a good one. What do you think?
But I think that looks like the Falcons are going to be down a couple of receivers for the game. So that's how the Jets got a win last week. So we'll see. Don't want to get my hopes up too high.
Well, so anyway, when I was kind of locked in, they wanted to know who my winner pick was. Well, I really had not thought about it because I hate to pick a winner's pick at the very start because, you know, so much changes and you hadn't really seen a lot of the characters yet. But with that being said, I picked my winner last week. So I actually picked the 20-year-old college student, Liana. That's who I picked. And I feel good about that pick.
Yeah.
So it was fun to see her. She opened the show last night. I think she's a really strong character. I was a little confused, and you tell me what you think. She seemed upset that Xander was not the one going home, that O'Shea was. And I thought, I kind of thought her and Evie were working on that together. So that was a little confusing to me because I thought that they were kind of like 50-50 on their decision making. So What did you think about that?
Well, so from last week, Liana felt like, okay, the right move is to vote out Xander. And then Tiffany was, and we saw Liana speak with Voce about, okay, like, Voce had wanted to vote out Tiffany. When Evie came back from the Shipwheel Island, I think they only had a couple of minutes, and I think they just didn't want to rock the boat, speaking of the game within the game, with Tiffany. So I think they just went with Tiffany's plan instead of what Liana wanted to do. I think that Liana was just bummed out that they didn't go with like what she felt like she knew was the right plan, was to get rid of Xander.
Well, I'm wondering now, I mean, but Xander seems to trust Liana and Effie.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like keeping him, because he is strong in challenges.
Yeah,
he definitely helped him on that challenge, that reward and the immunity challenge last
night.
So I'm not so sure that was a bad decision, because he's a young kid. I think he's 20 as well, and he seems to get along with them, and he seems to kind of be in their corner. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure keeping him was a bad thing. I mean, I hated to see Voce go. I was surprised to see him go, but I don't think keeping Xander, you know, plus,
yeah,
I know Xander's got a lot of idols and he's got all kind of idols, but if you can't play them,
mm-hmm.
I guess what good are they?
Yeah. But here's the thing though, where then, okay, it's fine now, but what happens if next week, say, Nasir finds the third of those things? Well, no, actually, we don't know what's going to happen with Brad, where it was almost a situation where, okay, only one more person had to say the thing to make the idol happen. We don't know what's going to happen with the beware advantage that Brad found. We're presuming that it's going to be rehidden, so maybe they have a minute before Xander is going to have a chance to vote or have an idol.
So, I mean, I would think seems like they've got so much time. Production has so much time invested in this beware advantage.
Yes.
I can see that they definitely want to hide it so that the Luvu, did I say that right?
I think it's Luvu, but on that. You know, I know what you're talking about.
And Nasir, let's see. Okay, Luvu, there's Sydney, Danny, Deshaun, Heather, Erica, Nasir. Okay. Heather, I haven't seen much. I haven't seen much about Heather. I want to, but I haven't. I know Erica's amazing puzzles.
Can I tell you something? That the biggest thing we've seen from Heather was there was a secret scene last week that, if anybody didn't see this, that she had a secret scene where she told Sydney that Sydney stole her torch in her dream.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then she revealed that she made that up, T-Bird. She didn't even really dream that. She just wants people to start thinking bad about Sydney.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with Sydney, because didn't Nasir say she was a double agent? Nasir was calling her a double agent.
Well, she was a double agent last night. Nasir told her the plan, and then she went back and told everybody.
You know what? But she did that. I remember from the very first episode.
The second time she did that to Nasir.
Because she ran, wasn't it Danny and Deshaun that were kind of filling up the water, mm-hmm. trying to win the challenge, but then they'd sneak off and try to find an mm-hmm. idol?
Yep.
Didn't Sydney kind of go ahead and tell everybody
sure.
what they were doing?
Yeah.
So, all right. So Sydney's going to be an interesting character, definitely to watch. She's got a lot of fun confessionals, because it seems like at the end of the show for episode four, it seems like she might be wearing people kind of thin.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Heather's one of them.
Yeah.
Right? Heather's one of them. And I think didn't Tiffany already say she wasn't real big on, I don't think she said she wasn't real big about
she,
it.
She what didn't
did,
really hit it off with
say?
Sydney on when they went to the summit.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I think she said that something like she's not so sure she's liking Sydney's energy.
Yeah.
That is such a diplomat. I love it. That is such a diplomatic way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? I could actually. So, yeah, she said she didn't like Sydney's energy. So, well, you know, it's funny because I know we're jumping around. What a surprise.
Yeah.
Right, Rob?
Okay.
Talking with me. What a surprise. But If you want to go with a different format, just stop me.
Let me. Why don't I lead you around, and then we could talk about what you're thinking about a bunch of the different things. But first, let me just quickly thank one of our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Noon Sport. Noon Sport makes your water work harder. It's hydration you can feel. T-Bird, you were out there in Africa. You know how important hydration is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because when you sweat, you lose vital electrolytes and minerals that your body needs in order to keep moving and recover efficiently. Noon Sport is optimized for hydration and mineral replenishment before, during, and after a workout. If you're like T-Bird running on the treadmill, just drop a fizzy tablet in your water bottle to support your hydration anytime, anywhere. Noon Sport tablets are packed in convenient, easy-to-grab tubes, so you can take your optimized electrolytes on the go. Noon Sport is made with only 1 gram of sugar and carefully sourced premium ingredients that are certified non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. Noon Sport is available in 13 and delicious flavors, including fan favorite cherry limeade, which has an extra boost of caffeine. To get your game-changing hydration, visit noon.life/Rob. That's noon.life/Rob, and enter code Rob for 25% off your first order. Okay, T-Bird, I want to talk about Brad. I had the chance.
Oh, God, let's talk about Brad.
I spoke with Brad this morning. I loved Brad, that he was such a great sport. I apologized to him on my exit interview because of what we all thought, us, you know-it-alls and Survivor experts, boy, we thought Brad was going to be bland, boring Brad.
Oh, he was not boring Brad at all. What a great character. And it seems like his only downfall, such a great guy. Had he watched Survivor in the past? Was he a fan of Survivor?
He was not really. He told me that he had only seen maybe 2 seasons before he played. He had not seen a lot of Survivor before he went out there.
Oh, dear Lord. Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Because you could tell by the way he played how he was so trusting and telling everybody exactly what he had, which we all know, rule number one, keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And bless his heart, he and Shan.
Tiber, you blessed his heart at him?
Yeah, bless his heart, because he seems like such a great guy. I mean, they're on this little tribe together. So he wants Shan. He felt bad because he said, you know, Shan's running around. She's looking for the idols. And, you know, I have it. And I feel bad for her. And he shared it with her like you would share something with someone that you know they're going to be happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they cut away to Shan, she's like, oh, gosh, I got to decide now if I'm going to vote him out because he's got all these idols. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, Brad, no. Yeah, Brad was a fantastic character.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah. So I'd love to get your take on whether or not you thought Shan made the right decision. And of course, you know, you had Brad, who was super loyal, but it seemed like that there was more of a personal connection with JD. And I'd love to get your take on what you thought the right decision was there.
Well, I really like Shan. And I think a lot of times, even though I'm not seeing a lot of the characters I really want to see in this 40 minutes, because it seems like there's so much going on with the advantages and all that, it really showed a side of Shan last night. I think she's very strategic. But I love that emotional tug of the game that they showed with her, you know, when it came to her trying to decide if she wanted to vote out Brad or JD. And she talked about, compared it to the emotional pull that she felt when she was five, when she had to choose between her mom or her dad. Now, I didn't have to do that as a child, but I can only imagine that still stays with her so much all these years later, that was a very difficult time in her life. And it seems so sincere the way she was actually saying, I really don't know what to do. So I like her. I think she's a strong player. You know, she had a lot of information to help her game. And I tell you what I was actually thinking, Rob. I was thinking that JD, now he might have won her over, I think, a couple of things. He gave her his idol, I guess, to hold until he gets out of timeout.
He gave her an extra vote. Yeah.
An extra vote to hold until he gets out of until he's out of timeout. So I think that made a difference for her.
Yeah.
But also, I think the crystals, him talking about the crystals at tribal council, might have helped seal, you know, him getting to stay, because obviously he knew he was in danger. Brad, I don't guess, did know he was in danger. So he didn't really come up with anything as powerful as his crystal story, as JD's crystal story. So
yeah,
I don't know when Shan had decided that she was going to keep, you know, let Brad go and keep JD. But and then also, we didn't see a lot about Ricard. And I mentioned that because I think Ricard and Shan are really a close duo. I think they're both very, very strong players who have clearly watched lots of episodes in the past and know how this game is played. We didn't see a lot of Ricard last night, which I was surprised about. I know he had mentioned that he wanted to keep JD. Didn't he say he wanted to keep JD because maybe he worked more around camp?
I'm not sure about the exact reasoning. You know, I do feel like that from going back to last week's episode when Ricard was told that Brad was spying on him. I think Ricard was certainly disappointed in JD that he did not show that he had that extra vote. But I think he was more annoyed with Brad spying on him. And I think for Ricard, I don't think he wanted to go down to 2-2 with Brad and Jeannie on one side and him and Shan on the other side. I think for Brad and for Ricard and for Shan, I think that they wanted to have JD as a number, and then they can vote out Jeannie next if they want.
You know what? It makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Because we know Jeannie and Brad were a couple. We're combined, you know, in an alliance together.
Yeah.
So a pair. So yeah, that makes complete sense. But you know what? This is what I was thinking last night as I was watching. I kept mumbling under my breath. I wish I had played with people like this when I played in Africa. And I guess, you know, that weren't really, I don't think any of us in Africa, and you tell me about with your season, all of us 16 players, we knew the game. We had seen the first two. So it was, you know, we were all playing as hard as we could. But going out there and playing with somebody like Brad that clearly doesn't look like they've seen much, that is gold if you're the other players. Because obviously it definitely worked out for Shan because he was sharing everything with her. So anyway, I agree that Ricard, you know, I could see why he wanted to get Brad out. And plus, you know he's not that happy about Jeannie, even though Jeannie did spell his name correctly. I know she did. He's probably still scratching his head thinking, okay, Jeannie voted for me at the first tribal council.
Yes.
Jeannie's connected to Brad. Let's go ahead and get Brad out. And then if I need to start working on Jeannie later, I guess, you know, I can do that.
Yeah. No, I think that's right from Ricard's point of view.
And I'll tell you what, Jeannie is another character.
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord. I know you're supposed to be guiding me in the direction you want me to go.
Yeah, I have so many questions for you, but you go from one thing to the next.
Which surprised me when you say, hey, T-Bird, do you want to do the recap with me? I even told Glenn, I'm like, why does he want me to do it? He knows I'm all over the place, but I'm glad you did. Okay, so let me just say this one thing about this. So when we got to the reward / immunity challenge, I want more Jeannie. Watch whenever I don't know what sounds she was making off to the side, the chants she was making for her team. But
she kicked the bench.
She was kicking the bench, and I think she had a penalty lap for what was going on over there. But I found whatever she was doing over there to be quite interesting. That was great. So it's going to be interesting to see how Jeannie does now that Brad's gone. We don't know what's going to happen with Jeannie. Okay, you take me in the direction you want me to go.
Primer for giving us all your thoughts about the tribe, the whole Uwa tribe for the first 3 weeks. I wanted to go back to where we started with Shan. And you mentioned about how Shan told that, you know, a really compelling personal story about how when she was a kid, she had to choose between living with her mom or living with her dad. And I was watching, you know, I was like watching a lot of social media, and there's so many survivors that they, you know, post reactions to the episode on their social media. And, you know, it's so interesting to get all the different takes from the players. Suri does a great one. I was watching Parvati this morning. Parvati did an Instagram Live after the episode, and I have to give her credit for this because this was something that she brought up, and I thought it was such an interesting question that she was talking with a woman that she's working on a project with, and they were talking about how who do you think was in this equation the mother and who was the father in as Shan was breaking down these choices.
Oh. Gosh. Okay. All right. Let me think. I didn't know where you were going. That's not the direction I thought you were going in. But now that I know, all right. Well, she did say, I think I remember her saying that she felt like she had to let one of them down, and it was her dad that she had to let down mm-hmm. because she stayed with her mom. So I'm going to say in this example that Brad, being older, probably more of a father yeah. figure, I'm going to say that Brad would have been the dad. And I'm thinking JD more like maybe not necessarily the mom, but maybe the brother that she yeah. thinks still needs her to be there
yeah,
but, because he just might need her.
Right. But it's certainly, I think the person that she had the more emotional connection with, as opposed to Brad. I don't know if that was necessarily like purely like a emotional connection that she had with Brad. It might have been that way for him. He spoke very highly of her in the exit interview. But I just thought that was a really interesting part of that discussion that Parvati had brought up. I will say also that we're going to be talking with Parvati very soon on the podcast. She's going to be checking in with us next week after the episode. So we'll hear from her next week. So if that is something that's still going on, we certainly can explore that more with Parvati next week. As far as Shan moving forward, who do you think she's closer to now? Do you think it's JD or do you think it's Ricard?
I think it's Ricard, only because even though I haven't seen, they're both such strong personalities, I kind of think they're going to stay together because I know Ricard's not going to venture off with Jeannie, and I don't think Shan or Ricard trust JD. I think they want to keep him really close. You know, it's like him coming back with that idol tucked in his pants. Well, not really tucked in, halfway tucked in. Mm-hmm. And then Shan making the point of saying, you didn't tell us. You didn't tell us you had it. We saw that you had it. And then that's the difference of admitting something and being caught with something. So I think they're just keeping him close. I don't think they really, really trust him.
No.
So I think Ricard and Shan are staying close. It's interesting because I don't see a lot of interaction between Ricard and Shan, but there's a part of me that thinks they're really close and really tight and basically it running the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely get that sense as well. I think that Shan did a good job with like a smokescreen of like, hey, Brad and Jeannie, it's really, you know, we're really the three, and, you know, Ricard and JD might be more on the outs. And Shan was in a good job in the middle. But I think that now, like, at least as far as Jeannie has to obviously know, that's not the case. And it looks like that the three is Shan and Ricard and JD.
Right. Because now, I mean, we didn't hear Jeannie or Brad, and maybe we just didn't hear it, where they were acting like that they were uncertain about Shan. Brad seemed 100% completely mm-hmm. sure about Shan.
Yeah.
Because so sure that he wanted her in on everything, and he said that he was actually doing it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know. How about this, T-Bird? What if now that if that beware advantage gets rehidden at the camp, would anybody there pick it up? I mean, Shan and Jeannie know how it works. I don't know if JD would.
Oh, yeah. He's just looking for stuff.
Yeah,
he is. Absolutely. He is on the prowl. I mean, they showed him looking so hard. And then he said, well, maybe they've already been found. I mean, he was so cute explaining everything. He said, well, Shan is so smart. Jeannie's looking for the idol. Ricard knows the game. I'm sure he's looking for the idol. But Brad never leaves the shelter, which is funny that they had him saying that because there it was planted right there in the shelter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think JD, I think JD, he's so cute. You got to love his personality.
Yeah.
If he sees something laying down, he's grabbing it. Mm-hmm. He's going to grab it and just see what happens. So he's kind of a wild card, but in a good way.
Yeah. So
I
T-Bird.
Like keeping him around.
Well, what if about for Shan? You know, if you really want to ground JD, if she finds the beware advantage, does she say, hey, JD, look what I found? And then now he's going to lose his vote for a couple of rounds.
That's true. You mean if Shan... You mean if Shan gives him the beware advantage?
Yeah, says like, hey, JD, come here, look at this. Look what I found. She knows what it is. She knows you'll lose your vote if you pick that up. And so, that basically then he can't vote. He can't use his extra vote. Maybe now he'll have an idol when it comes out. But, you know, that at least that she knows he has an idol. And it might be a way to sort of like keep him on a short leash for a little while.
It would, but what about this? What if Shan says, okay, oops, I didn't read the fine print. Sorry about that, JD. You don't have a vote. Why don't you just let me, since I'm holding this for you anyway, you might as well just let me go ahead and use this extra vote since you can't vote anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shan's a smart player. She's savvy. And I think JD, he's just happy. JD's a young guy. Isn't he 20? Is he also a young kid at 20? College, any college student, super fan.
Yeah.
I think Shan could talk JD into about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
So, but I think definitely he's going to grab it, and then Shan is going to be the one to help him decide what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm. T-Bird, I have a lot of questions for you today, and I asked the listeners to send in some questions in some... it's a new era, T-Bird, so I asked people to send us in some questions.
It is a new era.
Yes.
That's what Brad said. Brad said it's a new era, and then he was voted out. I hope that's not a bad sign we're starting off with right there, but go ahead.
And so I asked people to send us in some questions on Instagram. And I asked some people to send us in questions on TikTok.
Oh, TikTok. Okay, good.
Okay.
I hope I can answer these questions.
Yeah. So I have some questions that have come in. And somebody who is a great follow on TikTok, her name is Survivor Simulation. She recorded a video and she wanted to ask you this question.
Hey, Rob. Hey, T-Bird. What's up?
Long-time listener, first-time Stitcher. So I have a question about JD's extra vote. Do we know if it is transferable or not? And if it is transferable, would the best move for Shan to have been to vote out JD rather than keep him in and then keep the vote for herself? T-Bird, I love talking with T-Bird so much, and I'm really excited to hear this episode. So thank you so much. Bye.
Okay. T-Bird, so she was on the road. She was walking in the city when she recorded that message. But thank you to Survivor Simulation for that. Okay, T-Bird, do you think that if Shan was to vote out JD, do you feel like that she can use that extra vote?
All right. So Survivor Simulation, God, that's a great question. I guess we were kind of just talking about that a second ago. Okay, you said, I think Survivor Simulation said if it's transferable. But let me ask you a question. If somebody says, I know JD said here, you hold this, but if he just says you can have it, do we have to find out if it's transferable or is just the fact that he said you can have it, is that good enough?
I don't know. It's such a gray area with, we always go back to Survivor Game Changers when Sarah Lucina let Ceri hold her steal a vote, and then it said on there that it was not transferable. Brad, when I spoke with him this morning, talked about his steal a vote. He could give it to Jeannie. So I don't know about the extra votes if you can, you know, give them to other players to potentially use. Now, I think that's still unclear.
I would think if it doesn't say it, you can give it.
Mm-hmm.
I would think if it's not saying it's not transferable, then it's transferable.
Yeah.
You know, so, but this is just the thing. there's no time. Like, you know, if Brad would have had time to figure out what to do, he would have given Jeannie his votes mm-hmm. and everything. Yeah. I get that's a good question.
But I will say that if Shan can control JD the way we think that Shan can control JD, Shan has an extra vote at every tribal council. So, sure, it's like killing the golden goose, where if she votes him out today, sure, she can have one extra vote. But if she keeps him, she basically has an extra vote for every round that she feels like that she can still control what he's doing.
Well, okay, so that's true. But let me ask you this. There's only four. Yasa has four people left.
Yeah.
Ua has four people left. Luvu, they're having a great holiday vacation over there. Mm-hmm. Except for, we don't know what's going on with Sydney. We're not sure about that right now. But at what point are they gonna let these tribes go down to 3-2 before they're gonna merge them or mix them up into two tribes?
I think not for a little while, T-Bird. I mean, I think if a tribe gets down to two, maybe they say, okay, like Malcolm and Denise, okay, you go on, Evie, you go on this tribe, Liana, you go on this tribe.
Okay. Do you like it that way?
I think it's interesting. What I do like about, I don't like it as a player. I think it would be very hard to deal with these small tribes because there's very little that you can do strategically. However, as a viewer, that I think it's very easy to, you know, be able to follow the stories of that. I think it gets very confusing when you mix up the tribes so much where it's like, wait, who is there? Like, who is that people? Like, you know, this really, we've gotten to know just about everybody on the season, barring a couple of people that are on the Luvu tribe where they haven't been to tribal council. That's, you know, the downfall of, like, you know, anytime you have a tribe that does well, it's sort of like a double-edged sword where it's like, great, you're not going to tribal council, but also we don't really get to see a lot of story of what's going on. But I feel like that, like, the Yasa tribe has like a story that we're definitely able to follow. The Ua tribe has a story that we're able to follow. And the story that we're seeing is mostly about Nasir and Sydney over there. But, you know, if you mix things up, then I think then it's like, well, what do we have at that point?
Yeah. And so do you think this, Rob, because I've always thought that the people you see the least amount of are the ones that go, it seems like a lot of times, go further in the game compared to the ones that you see out of the gate that are really strong.
Yeah, it could go either way, but yeah.
But it seems like even this week coming up, well, the Luvu tribe, I'm actually missing out on this whole tribe pretty much. I know we saw Erica a lot. Episode one, love her. She's an absolute doll baby. I feel like, and Nasir, I loved his story about coming from Sri Lanka. I like him. I think he might be playing a little bit too hard when they don't need to play that hard mm-hmm. yet because they're winning.
Yeah.
I like his character also. So I'd like to see more of the Luvu tribe. I'm slowly getting to know Sydney, but I just remember from the very first episode, I thought, ooh, she's kind of, again, I guess what Nasir said, double agent. You know, trying to trust people and, you know, people telling each other what you're doing. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Okay, so, yeah, I see what you're saying. But you know what? Sometimes when you're going down in numbers and you get down to 2-3, sometimes that might be a better thing because they can mm-hmm. kind of spread you out. And these other tribes, if you join them, you know, will be vying to bring you into theirs because you know there's going to be dissension. Is that a word? If I use that word right?
Yes.
In these other tribes. Like with Luvu, I don't know what's exactly happening because I've seen not much of them at all.
Yeah.
But if you get down and you're like a Shan and you're pulled in there, you kind of get to start over and be the new kid at school. And sometimes, you know, the new kids at school in the middle of school year are quite popular.
Sure. Sure. T-Bird, let me ask you about how you think this is going to play out at that Luvu tribe. Who do you think is going to be the person who gets voted out? Do you think it's going to be Nasir? Will he be the first person to go? Or do you think it will be Sydney? Because we've seen so much of her.
Gosh, I don't know. know.
Or none of the above.
Let's say I got to answer. I got to pick somebody. Let's make me pick somebody.
Yeah.
All right. So I haven't seen, I mean, there's six of them. I know they want to keep the tribe strong. I haven't seen Heather. I haven't seen her in a challenge yet, or confessionals to know mm-hmm. much about how she's getting along with everybody. But it does seem like, you know, Nasir talking about wanting to either get Danny out, and I guess he was saying Deshaun's a nice kid and keep him around. That might hurt. All right, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I would think with this many people, the way Sydney kind of plants her, just kind of planting her stuff with people, it could definitely be Nasir going. And I hope it's not, because I really like him. I want to see his story, his character develop.
Yeah.
It seems kind of difficult for him right now. And I know it's just how they show the editing. But whenever they show it, it looks like he's over there by himself. I'm like, mm-hmm. come on, bring Nasir into the group. Mm-hmm. And then they've got Sydney kind of talking about him. And, you know, it takes one person can change the dynamics of everything. So Sydney planting her seeds with Danny and Deshaun. At some point, maybe Heather is seeing what Sydney's doing. And I think, wasn't Erica also on this preview they showed last night for episode 4? Wasn't she also kind of catching on to maybe Sydney? Because I think Sydney said that she thought Nasir was going to, I think she said something about he's ruining us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay around a small group of people long enough, you can see who's the one that's causing maybe some of the dissension in the group.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's happening with Sydney now, especially since Heather's having dreams that are whatever you said, mm-hmm. the porch was getting snuffed out or stolen or mm-hmm. whatever was happening with all that.
Yeah. If I had to guess myself, I think I would put my chip on. I think Nasir is going to be the person to go. And for me, it's just a little bit like, I think that so much of the story has been focused on Nasir, from Nasir thinks the guys are looking for an idol to, oh, wait, actually, Nasir is a super valuable member of the tribe, to then this week the story was, oh, did you see what Nasir did when he said that he wanted Danny out? So I feel like we're heading towards Nasir being the first person out of that tribe. But I mean, I guess we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, well, that actually,
they may not go to a tribal council.
That absolutely will.
Mm-hmm.
They will at some point.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, they will at some point. But yeah, that kind of makes sense if they're sure, because he's got a great backstory.
Yeah,
he's got a fantastic backstory. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it kind of makes sense. But we'll see what happens with him and Sydney.
Yeah.
All right. Ask me something else.
Okay.
Or you want me to go off in my direction?
T-Bird, when we talked about the Uwa tribe before, you talked about the tribal council. You were talking about JD and his crystals. Was there anything else that you wanted to say there?
No. I mean, I thought it was, you know, for him to be such a young kid, I think he said some pretty neat stuff that I'm sure Propes was proud to hear. I mean, he keeps dropping names of Ozzy, and I think he's mentioned Wu a few times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's of what
Malcolm, role models Malcolm. Are
maybe inspirations. Yeah. And Malcolm, what inspirations that they've been to him. I think that's neat. So I think he put it in a beautiful way. I think he said something about, I may have dropped your crystal, but I just hope you don't drop mine. I'm like, okay, that's some good stuff, wherever that came from. That sounds good. I'm going with that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
All right, we'll be right back with T-Bird in just a moment, but we have a sponsor to thank, and those are our friends over at Canva. And I thought it would be great to bring in the Rob is a Podcast social media manager to talk a little bit about her love of Canva and Canva Pro. It's Hannah Litsky. Hannah, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm great. How are you?
Hannah, I'm so excited to get to chat with you. And of course, anybody that follows the RHAP accounts on social media can see the amazing job that you do. And you were the one that first turned me on to Canva a little while ago, because you are a prolific Canva user.
I'm the biggest Canva stan out there. It makes making graphics so easy.
Now, if you don't know what Canva does, if you make content online, there could be lots of different pain points for creating videos, making social posts, and Canva Pro is going to help you design anything like a pro, just like Hannah does. Hannah, what do you like about Canva Pro?
I love that there are so many images and fonts built into it, so you can create so many beautiful graphics custom for whatever design you want.
Why did you start using Canva as opposed to anything else for what you were doing online?
I just found it was so much easier. Plus, Canva gives you the option to resize to different shapes depending on what social media platform you're using, so you can transition from Instagram story to Twitter post so easily.
Designing on Canva Pro is fast and fun. You can choose from thousands of templates, too, that are easy to customize or start from scratch. Plus, they have endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more that adds personality and edge to whatever you're designing, so you can add that custom flair. Hannah, are there any tools that Canva offers that are any of your favorites?
Now that we've been doing a lot of work with TikTok, one thing that I love is being able to work on video in Canva. And that's one of the great tools, is being able to resize and reformat all of your videos.
Yeah, you know how much I love the TikTok. Designing together has never been easier. Sharing, editing, and commenting in real time. Canva Pro helps you stay organized on the same page and on top of team projects like we do. No more misplaced files or tedious back and forth. Plus, you and four teammates can unlock everything Canva Pro has to offer for just $12.99 a month. With Canva Pro's content planner, you'll save time planning, creating, and posting social media content too. Pause scheduled posts and edit them at any time. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/robhas. That's canva.me/robhas, R-O-B-H-A-S, to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's Canva, canva.me/robhas, canva.me/robhas. And while you're out there, check out everything we're doing on social media and see all the hard work that Hannah is doing.
Thanks. Go check it out.
All right.
At Raw Offensive Podcast.
Hannah, thank you for coming on and talking a little bit about Canva with me. Let's get back to T-Bird. T-Bird, I have a ton of questions for you from the listeners of Raw Offensive Podcast.
All right. I hope it doesn't have to do with, I hope I can answer it better than Brad answered about, you know, hoping that the salt water didn't make his pants baggy, but he's turning into a twig with fuzzy broccoli hair. Or mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like a broccoli, or
yeah.
Broccoli grows on small. Bless his heart. I love that. And what did Xander say? Xander say something like, I like the way you said that about broccoli.
Yeah, like you said say about broccoli. Xander. Yeah.
I like the way you said it about broccoli too.
Yeah.
So
T-Bird.
Anyway.
So let me ask you a little bit about that, because I have some questions about those beware advantages and the secret phrases. First off, do you like having those in the show?
You know what? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I love that they absolutely make no sense at all. And I think long after this season is over and we just remember that it was season 41 minus the four. Did I get it right? Did I get it right?
Drop the four,
season
keep the one. Yeah, that'll work.
Drop the four. Okay.
We'll allow
okay.
it.
Okay. Drop the whatever. Okay. I think we're going to remember, you know, the season I'm talking about, the season with the butterflies are like dead relatives. You know, the season when like a goat on AstroTurf, you know, the season when broccoli grows, you know, on small trees, you know, the season we're going to remember these three sayings. They're catchy. They're cute. I actually like them. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Do you like them?
Yeah, I think it's been fun so far. I don't mind so much. All right, but T-Bird, we saw Brad struggle last night with trying to talk about the broccoli. T-Bird, do you think you could naturally slip the phrase, I didn't realize this until now, broccoli is just a bunch of small trees. Do you think that you could naturally slip that into the conversation with Jeff?
Okay. So give me an example. I mean, where am I? Are we at tribal? I mean, we're
you're on the mat. You're on the mat. T-Bird, how's everything going?
Oh my gosh, it's going great. You know what? I see we're getting ready to play for fruit. You know, I saw some trees around camp that it looked like broccoli. It just reminded me of a bunch of small trees that looked like broccoli. So I found myself craving broccoli. I don't know. That's what I've got. What about you? How would you say it?
Yeah, I was thinking that as I was almost going to share with Brad that I feel like, Jeff, no rice. We're starving. All I'm thinking about until food, and I'm looking around, and I didn't even realize until now, broccoli is just a bunch of small trees. I'm going to go out there and just start eating everything in sight.
Okay, that's good. Now, we don't know yet with Luvu. Hey, let's look at the Luvu.
No, Luvu is, who do we think? I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. T-Bird, I feel like that you could drop that like nothing.
Oh, that would be absolutely. Coming from the South? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that a real phrase? Have you ever heard anybody say that before?
I have not.
Yeah.
I have not. I would have loved to have been in the meeting with the executives when they came up with these sayings, though.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Would have loved to have been there. Now, this is what I'm wondering. Who are we going to get the most bang out of our buck for on the Luvu tribe that's going to say, I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf.
I think it has to be Nasir.
Who's going
to
be the fun? Who's
Nasir?
Yeah, I think Nasir could be fun with that. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping Nasir gets that one just because, number one, we think he needs it. He's going to mm-hmm. need it. And, yeah, I hope it's Nasir, too.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guarantee you Nasir can definitely throw it out there with no problems.
I think so.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Amanda Fallon wrote in to ask us, hey, butterflies and broccoli trees, how do you think that these cross-tribal relationships will impact the gameplay down the line? How would you use this to your advantage? So do you think the players that have these idols, assuming that somebody else finds it to be wear advantage, assuming somebody finds it on Luvu, do you think that those players are going to sort of be like locked in with each other?
I don't know, because it seems like every week, Amanda, what's happening is somebody's got it and they get voted out and they plan it again and somebody else gets it. I can't keep up with it. I would think if they stay divided into three tribes, it will connect them. But I always think, too, it's not good when other people know what you've got. Now, of course, you know, you don't know how the other two people are going to play. You know, you got to have three parts for it to be powerful, mm-hmm. right, Rob?
Yep.
You just don't know how the other two people are going to play it, if they're going to be announcing it out, if they're going to, probably would make me nervous on what the other two are going to be doing with it. Like, for example, if I had to come together with Brad, I had a part, Brad had a part, Xander had one, Brad had one, and I had one, I'd be thinking, well, I'm not sure how Brad's going to be with this. Because Brad, I love him, he's a wild card. Because he's only seen two episodes of the show. We don't know how mm-hmm. he's going to be. So I always think sometimes idols can hurt you, especially if there's so many limitations. And it seems like, especially when it's a three-part idol and you got to deal with two other people of two other tribes, that could get really tricky.
So
that's what I think about that, Amanda.
Going back to Brad, Khaki818 on TikTok wanted to ask us, what was your reaction when Brad showed his teammates what he found? Khaki said, I screamed at the TV.
Yeah, I screamed a little bit too, Khaki818. I don't even want to tell you what I said, but I thought, come on. And then he was saying Shans is number one, Khaki818.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Khaki818?
818.
Shans, 818. Khaki's is, Khaki. Shan is his number one next to Jeannie. She trusts me completely. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, I think it's only because he's great character, but he hasn't seen enough of the seasons to know. Although there are people that have seen a lot of the seasons that still love to, you know, say what they've got. And I'm not so sure JD might not be one of them. And mm-hmm. he's a super fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's human nature that if you've got something, kind of like a child, like with ice cream. Remember Eddie Murphy danced with his ice cream?
Okay.
You kind of just want to, you want to show it. You want to let other people know you
got
it. Well,
JD didn't want to show his, that he got busted because he didn't show his.
Well, he had it halfway hanging out.
You think subliminally he wanted to show it?
Well, I would think, and I could be wrong about this, but he probably had pockets.
Yeah.
In those swim trunks. So I would think to be safe, it could have fallen out any time from there. Mm-hmm. I would have thought he would have put it in his pockets, if he has pockets. I guess that's a question we can ask him for a later day. But he didn't seem like he did too much to hide it.
No. Okay. Let me ask you another question about the Beware Advantage. And this came from us. I had asked people to send us their questions on Instagram, and one of our listeners, Bryce, made this video to ask a question.
Hi, Robin T-Bird. My name is Bryce Snethery, and I just had a question. I was reading one of the Parade.com interviews that Brad did after he was eliminated, and he said that you can't use anything if you've lost your vote. Like, you can't use your idol and just like the fact that you can lose your vote and like you can't use a steal a vote was just kind of confusing. So I'm just wondering like what you guys think about that and how you think this will be looking forward into Survivor 42 and beyond.
Okay, so I spoke with Brad about this a little bit myself. And of course, I think Bryce must be referring to the great work that Mike Bloom does over at Parade.com doing his exit press with Brad, which everybody should check out. But I think this is a little bit of a distinction. They keep talking about in the episode, you'll lose your vote, you'll lose your vote. But actually, I think what they should say and what they mean is you lose your right to vote, where it doesn't even matter if you have extra votes, if you can steal a vote. You lose your voting privilege more than you lose your specific vote, because we've seen times where people, he lost his vote, but he has an extra vote, or he lost his vote, but he could steal a vote. You lose your ability to go up there and do anything. You lose your turn.
Bryce, this whole thing with all these votes and stuff, my head's still turning about when the three of them, when Tiffany, Brad, and Sydney went on their boats.
Yeah.
Took their individual boats to decide what they were going to do. My head is still spinning on, okay, if you all pick a tarp, you get a tarp. If you steal a vote, if you all steal a vote, you all lose a vote. And if you all split decision, you get a tarp, you get a vote. Then nobody gets a tarp. I don't even know. So Bryce, I can't make sense of it. It's a whole lot of stuff going on to me. Mm-hmm. This is the way I think about it. This is just my opinion, okay, which means absolutely nothing. It's too much. It's too much, you know, and I guess I was hoping that we were going to go back a little bit. And I know Jeff loves the idols, and I think a little idol, a little vantage every now and then is good. But I guess I thought we were going to go back, you know, to a little more basics where these characters are so amazing.
Yeah.
So watching the interaction with them, I'm so caught up in this idols and how many times did they all take out this piece of parchment to read these instructions slash directions that still make no sense to me? How much time did that take when I want to see about Ricard and Shan? Hey, are they building a relationship together? Are they working together? What's happening? What's going with Heather? Is Heather building a relationship with Erica down there in Luvu? I think she could be. I'm not sure. Is she developing a relationship with Nasir? I don't know. Nasir sitting by himself. What's happening at Yasa? Is Tiffany getting in with Xander now? I mean, I don't know. But I'm seeing that piece of parchment with rules that I can't even make sense of. So, Bryce, I know that was no help to answer your question.
Right. So I think you're right. You're right. I definitely understand what you're saying. You know, I feel like that I'm sort of torn because I feel like that the production is close. Like I feel like that for the most part, I like what they're trying this season, but I think that they've made it like a little too complicated. And I'm sure for the producers, like when you're there, when you're in the weeds of this thing, like, no, it's like, oh, this makes perfect sense. But for us, like trying to keep up, there's a lot going on and it is very confusing. I said this with Steven last night, but I really think that the way that you could sort of like simplify a lot of this is, you know, I liked have it like have the three people take the boat, go to the island, and they have, and the three of them have to make a decision, but don't make it sort of like this blind bet of protect or you know, tarp or extra vote. Just like put three things out on the table, and maybe, you know, when somebody gets a tarp, somebody's getting an extra vote, and somebody's getting, you know, like a glass of tap water. And then you can't leave until you figure out who's getting each thing. And if you can't figure it out, then you all lose your vote. And
that is absolutely perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
a great idea.
Yeah. And maybe like somebody else is like, maybe another time, you know, you bring the two people out there instead of playing that little game. Okay, somebody's getting a bowl of rice and somebody's getting an extra vote. Like, okay, well, like how do you untangle that thing?
Right. That makes complete. But you know what? I'm not talking bad about production, because just like the seasons up to 41 have evolved, you have to keep it. You keep changing it up, throwing different things against the wall. That's what you do, and it's okay. That's part of keeping it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's just so much going on with that, and it seems like, again, it's taken away on a 40-minute show. It's taken away from the character development and the relationships that I think a lot of the fans that I've heard through the years want to see that. And I liked how they've gone back and showing us different things about these players and their background and their home life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see them reacting with each other more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then I was curious about something like this. Okay, I love it when they say, you know, you got to sneak out of your camp.
Yeah.
Who did that a few seasons ago?
I mean, Sarah did it. Vince Moa.
I think I'm thinking about Sarah.
Yeah.
That was exciting. She really, I mean, whether it was the editing that made me think it or not, she really looked like she was trying to get out of there. It looked like that's what she's doing. Now, I'm thinking about, we got three boats pulling up. Now, Brad has told his whole group what he's doing, so they know the boat's coming up. You would think they'd be sitting there waving at him, telling, be safe, have a good trip. But it's still looking like he's planting somebody, like, didn't he say it was like Ferris Bueller's day off minus the snoring?
Yes.
Minus the snoring? Well, I'm like, what does that mean? Because they all know he's going.
No, I don't think they all knew it. For Brad, I think that, maybe Shan knew, but I asked about it this morning. He said, you know, he set up that whole thing, and he said that I don't think that anybody knew he was gone.
Jeannie knew he was going because they're an alliance. Shan knew he was going because he showed her the parchment.
So JD and Brad might not have known, but Shan probably told them. That's why nobody was looking for him.
And, you know, Ricard knew he was going because Ricard and Shan are working together.
Yeah.
So the way I see it, he's put in a lot of trouble. Now, you know, too, sometimes we forget this, but there's maybe not many, but one or two camera people that are filming him.
Mm-hmm.
That are standing up somewhere with a camera filming him. So I'm thinking to myself, are they really all asleep right now? Because I'm thinking they're probably not.
Yeah.
So I just wondered, you know, about that. Now I can see maybe with the Yasa tribe and the Luvu tribe, I think probably Sydney snuck out. I don't think she let anybody know. I think she's too smart to let anybody know what she was doing. And then Tiffany, of course, with Tiffany, Liana and Effie knew she was going, right? Because she showed them the thing. But yeah, it still looks like everybody's sound asleep and they're trying to sneak out.
T-Bird.
So I think, what?
I always want to ask you, as a parent, did any of your kids ever pull this move on you where that they set up like the pillows under the blankets of, if mom looks in here, she'll never know?
Yeah, I believe that did happen here.
Yes.
Now, you probably hadn't had that happen yet at your
house. Not yet.
I guess I could ask Roseanne that about you, but I'm going to say you didn't want to go outside at all, so you probably didn't want to sneak outside.
I was not in the television room
and turned on the television.
Sneaking out much. No, that was not a move that I did.
Anyway, Brad was so cute. I mean, the whole story around Brad, again, great character. And you said after talking to him that he just had a really great outlook and it was a great experience for him.
Mm-hmm. I love that guy.
So that's, I love that guy too.
Yeah. T-Bird, now I know you're a little confused about everything that's going on with losing the votes. So I don't know if you are going to love this other response that we got on TikTok from the great Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. Suggested this for us.
You can either protect your voice or risk your voice. If both of you protect your voice, neither of you have to sing the theme song. If both of you risk your voice, you both have to sing the theme song. If one of you protects and one of you risks, the person who protected has to sing the theme song.
Okay. You follow that, T-Bird?
Michael, I love you already. I love that. Okay, what do we get to sing? Does that mean we're getting ready to sing right now? Because I'm all in for it.
Okay, well, if you can either protect or you can risk that if we both protect, neither of us has to sing the Talking with T-Bird theme song. If one of us risks. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Michael, I already know Rob is not going to sing. So I already know he's not going to sing. And he probably says, oh, yes, she's going to sing. So but if one of us sings and one of us doesn't, then we both lose our voice.
No, I think then the person who risks, let's hear it again.
You can either protect your voice or risk your voice. If both of you protect your voice, neither of you have to sing the theme song. If both of you risk your voice, you both have to sing the theme song. If one of you protects and one of you risks, the person who protected has to sing the theme song.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, that's Michael. A wrinkle. I don't know, Michael, but that is so cute. Michael, that is a fantastic question. Okay. So either both protect, both risk, one protect, one risk.
What happens if we both risk?
I forgot.
Here, one more time.
You can either protect your voice or risk your voice. If both of you protect your voice, neither of you have to sing the theme song. If both of you risk your voice, you both have to sing the theme song. If one of you protects and one of you risks, the person who protected has to sing the theme song.
Okay,
got it. So if both of us protect, if both of us risk, we both have to sing.
Yeah.
If one protects and one risks, the one that protects has to sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael, I'm having you over for my next party. That's for sure.
Okay. All
right. Absolutely. 100%.
All right. Are you ready? On the count of three, we'll say it. Okay.
Wait. Oh, we're not going to start singing?
No, you say protect. You say protect or risk. Okay. I'll say one, two, three, and then you say your thing. Okay.
All right. So, Rob, like, let me make this straight here. If we protect it, does that mean we sing? And if we risk it, if we both protect it, we don't sing.
That if you protect it and I risk it, then you have to sing.
If you protect and I risk, then
you have to sing. And then if we both risk it, we both said risk it, we both have to sing.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. We'll say one, two, three, and then we'll say it. Okay.
Okay.
All right, ready? One.
Yes.
Two. Three. Risk.
Risk. We just did both. We both risk.
We both. We okay. All right.
So
all right.
What does that mean?
So we both have to sing it. But let me just say with the caveat of we will end the podcast with the singing. Okay.
All right. What song are we singing?
The Talking with T-Bird theme song, right?
Oh. Okay. Okay.
He said, sing the theme song. There's no theme song to the Rob's podcast, no lyrics.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
I mean, if somebody wanted to write lyrics for the Rob's podcast theme song, I'd love to hear them.
Oh, you just put that out there. You're going to get some people hitting you up for that.
I've been waiting 11 years for lyrics. Okay.
Oh, you're going to get lyrics for sure. Will of America hadn't given you lyrics yet?
Well, he didn't write the Rob's podcast theme song.
Well, I know, but he does lyrics, so he's going to send you some lyrics, too, and some other people will, too. Mm-hmm. So, okay, good. So we both risk, we both sing. Well, we're going to lose a lot of our listeners the last couple of minutes, but, well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the end of the show.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
I mean,
okay, okay.
All right. This is a question from Michael as well. He also wanted to know, who would T-Bird most like to interview from this season?
Oh my gosh. Michael, actually, I want to interview you because you talk really fast. I think I could have a lot of fun talking with you. But okay, on this cast, Michael, okay, everybody that's, okay, we're talking about all 18 people, not anybody, whether they've been voted out or not, doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. Oh, let me see. Gosh. All right. Okay, so, Michael, you know better than to ask me a question like this that you're not going to get one straight answer. So, I really like Ricard. Yeah. We're both flight attendants, so we share that in common. And I think he's, like, really cool, outspoken, knows the game. I love him. Shan is, again, especially after that emotional thing she said about how the game tugs at you, I think she'd be a fascinating person. She's a pastor. I just think she'd be fascinating. Brad is fascinating, of course. Jeannie, the grocery store clerk, who we've yet to see much about. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see how she develops. She will be fantastic. Nasir, I love Nasir's backstory. I think I'm fascinated with him. I'd love to go visit Nasir and kind of stay with him for a couple of days because I think he's fascinating, you know, where he comes from. And oh, gosh.
You could stay at his house?
So well, I don't know about staying in his house, but just the way they showed his, how he lives and how, you know, him coming out to Survivor was really a step a lot easier for him because of the where he's come from. So I think he's fascinating. Oh, God, the Evie, the PhD in biology, she's so smart.
All right, but T-Bird, you named the whole cast.
Well, I'm not finished yet, but I guess I'm on my way to naming them all. All right, Rob, let me just turn the tables here. You can interview one person, and I know you're probably interviewing them all. If you can only interview one, I think I know the answer what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you going to interview?
So are we interviewing them about their game or about their life? Because I feel like that's not just always the same answer.
Well, you know what? After Michael asked that, I was actually thinking just who I think's fascinating. I wasn't really thinking about their gameplay because that's why I started naming everybody on the cast because mm-hmm. they're all fascinating. That's what got them noticed. That's what got them out there.
Sure.
So they're all fascinating.
They're all going to be good interviews.
They're all going to be great. Okay, so let me just narrow it down, Michael. If I'm going to interview for gameplay, God, I'm going to have to wait and see how their games play out because LaVou, I hadn't even seen most of their gameplay yet. Mm-hmm. But Shan, I think Shan's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that's probably
Shannon Ricard.
Yeah. Okay. All right. T-Bird.
Right. I know that was such a... Okay.
Yeah. Megan Scanlon wants to know. What are T-Bird's thoughts on crystals? I was confused by the discussion last night. I know lead glass crystal is breakable, but I don't think that most crystals are that fragile.
Is that from Megan?
Yeah.
Did you say Megan?
Megan.
God, Megan. Megan, I don't know anything about crystals. I mean, I'm kind of like you. I kind of think of crystals like diamonds. They're really a hard substance.
And yeah, hardest substance on earth, right?
Yeah, so I don't know, but I guess because I like JD and I thought it was such a strong thing for him to come up with, it may have possibly saved him. I guess we'll know once we talk to Shan. Again, I was just kind of taken back by what he was saying and I thought, oh, I like that. That was mm-hmm. beautiful, JD. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but it doesn't matter. It did the trick. It worked for him.
Yeah. T-Bird, speaking of JD, let me play this question for you. This is from Sam from Instagram.
Hey, Robin T-Bird. My name's Sam. My question about episode 3 is, do you think JD's knowledge of the game is going to be his downfall?
What do you think about that, T-Bird? His lack of knowledge or too much knowledge?
You know what? Actually, Rob and Sam, thank you for that great question. I don't think either thing is going to be his downfall of the game. I think watching him at the immunity/reward challenge net last night says it all. When he was throwing it up and kind of hot dogging it, mm-hmm. throwing up the sandbags, and even Jeff made a comment, something about
mm-hmm. the way style he was points. Throwing them up. Yeah.
Style points. He was getting style points and didn't. Was it Shan that yelled something about, you know, don't try to, what did she say? She said something cute when he was throwing him up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be, I know he's a super fan. I don't think it's going to be his knowledge game. I think it's going to be that he's a young kid and he likes to show out a little bit. So yeah. I think that will be his downfall. I think mm-hmm. he's having fun with it and he's a fun energetic personality, and I think that is going to be his downfall. But I think he's going to have fun all along the way as he's playing.
Yep. T-Bird, do you think there's any difference between, you know, you played with famously with young people on your tribe. And of course, you know, this is a different generation of young people, but, you know, not too dissimilar in age. Do you have any advice for players who are playing with these players who come in their early 20s?
Do I have any advice for the more mature players
or for the younger
players?
Yes.
For the more...
Because it was a different generation, but you definitely played on a tribe where there was some dissension between players of one generation and then players of a younger generation.
I think if you can mix with these, depending on if you're a more mature player, you need to try to mix with the younger players, because I think that's a good thing. For example, the Luvu tribe, which again, we haven't seen much of, Heather, is Heather? I think Heather's in her 50s. Isn't Heather like 52?
I believe that's exactly right.
All right, so Heather's 52, and again, I can't wait to see her because I like her. She just right off the bat, she's seems to be a very likable person. So I think Heather is going to be better served to get in with somebody like Erica, who that might be happening. Now, Erica, Erica's not in her 20s. Isn't Erica like 32? Erica looks like she's in her 20s.
Yeah, so I think that sounds good. Right also. Yes.
All right. I think it's good. For me, when I played back in the day, I would have liked to have had some younger people in my alliance. I think it's a good combination. Like, for example, I'll say like if Heather and Erica can work together, I think that's a good thing, and not isolate the other person or people based on age. I think that's a down. I think that's a downfall because, for example, I'm kind of trying to look at the cast now. Let's go with Tiffany, for example. Tiffany's been a really fun character. Tiffany's 47. Certainly not. She's a mature player, and she's playing with these other players that are younger, and she's bonding with them really, really well. So what she might not can do, and by the way, she did great at the challenge last night, even though Propes was hilarious yelling along as she was going across the thing. That was pretty cute. You know, she's in with Liana, who's 20. And Effie, I think's in her 20s as well. I think she may be like around 28. See, that's a good combination because it looks like Liana, Effie, and Tiffany trust each other. You got a 20-year-old, basically a 30-year-old, and almost a 50-year-old working together. That's good. That's a good combination, especially when you see Liana, fantastic swimmer. She's looks like she's really got good endurance. Effie, very smart, probably great with puzzles also, you know, and then Tiffany might not be as good as endurance as Liana. So the three of them together, it's good. It's a good combination. It's a good alliance. So I think that's important not to isolate if you think that somebody's maybe more mature or too old. What I would do is stay away from the people that I think are causing trouble or trying to throw things out, and you can spot them really quickly. It kind of looks a little bit like what Sydney's doing, kind of causing problems with other people. Those are the people that I'd want to move out sooner than later because it breaks up the tribe.
Yeah. T-Bird, all right, I have a question
for
you. That
was a long explanation for that. Okay, wait.
I have a question for you, but I need a short answer for this question.
Oh yeah, okay, I gotcha.
Connor wants to know if T-Bird was on this season, who would she align with? Okay.
Oh, say Lord, one name.
Say one name. Don't say all 14 people that are still in the game.
Oh gosh. Okay, Connor, I think Rob is the one that put the rules in here. I don't think Connor put any rules.
No, Connor didn't, but. you know, but, we want.
Okay, you're the boss. You got it. I got it. All right. So let me, okay, let's do this. I think this is a good way to go. Tell me, am I on Yua, Yasa, or Luvu? Just, I got to be on one tribe.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not just, okay.
All right. I'll put you on the Ua tribe. We've seen them the most, I think.
Ua. Well, you know, I'm going to go with Ricard.
Okay, not Shan.
Well, mine and Ricard's backgrounds are very similar, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We, again, not just our profession. He was born in Atlanta. He knows the game. I think he's strategic. He doesn't look like he's playing. Well, it's hard to say because we're not seeing him much. But you know I got to pick Ricard, but thank you for narrowing it down to one tribe. Mm-hmm. Although I like Shan a lot, don't get me wrong. I'm going to go with Ricard.
I'll give you one more tribe. Yasa tribe.
Yasa. Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay, I'm torn here. I got two. I'm torn between. I like something about Liana. I don't know.
Yeah.
If it makes me feel more like a daughter for me. I like Effie a lot, too. There's something about Liana that especially, did I mention last night about her doing the emotional tug of the game? I don't know. That pulled me in closer to her. I think she's a savvy player, but she still plays with emotions. And I guess, I'm not saying I was a savvy player, but I certainly played with emotions.
I'll say it.
You can't help but, you know, I'd like to see somebody playing a smart game, but that also cares about the other people that you're voting out.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Liana. But now that's two tribes. We got to go with Luvu because that's two out of three. Let's do Luvu.
Okay.
You know I'm going to pick.
Nasir?
But that's right. I don't know his background story yet.
Mm-hmm.
I probably like Heather. I think, I like something about Erica just kind of pulls me in also.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that cute little smile she's got. Again, she looks a lot younger than she is. Something about her, I think I could trust her. And plus, she's great at puzzles, which I'm not the best on puzzles. So, okay. Erica.
Okay. T-Bird, let me ask
you. You pick.
Okay.
You pick.
Who am I going to work with on each tribe?
Yasa.
Okay. Let me think. On Yasa, well, first off, does anybody want to work with me on Yasa tribe?
Yeah, they do. They really do.
So, I feel like of the four people there, I do think that the person that I think I would have, I think that Evie seems like a big fan of the show. So I feel like that there'd be some common ground there. But I kind of feel like that Tiffany and I might be the people that see eye to eye.
Good choice.
She's from Long Island. I'm from Long Island. I feel like that we could bond over that.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've shown a lot. This is kind of crazy. They've shown Tiffany a lot. Yet, I still don't feel like I know her yet. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like I know her yet, even though fortunately I've gotten to see her a lot more than I have Jeannie or Heather. And I like her. But I still can't get a feel for where, when you build, Rob, you know this better than anybody, especially when you played All-Stars. Aligning with somebody's a big deal.
It's very hard. Brad. It's very hard.
It's very, look at what Brad did with Shannon. Who he never saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
To trust somebody and again, like I said, I think Tiffany's a great choice, although I've yet to get a feel on how I think she'll be. But anyway, okay, so Luvu.
I mean, there's so few people that we've seen. I like Deshaun.
Deshaun, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Okay, that's a good one.
And then on Ua. The Ua tribe, I love JD. He seems like a fun personality to be around, but I think probably Ricard is the person I think I would be able to talk shop with the most.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely agree on that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we both pick Ricard. That was mm-hmm. all right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure, I don't want to be go full T-Bird, but I feel like Shan would be great too. But I'm just trying to think of like who would like I think would want to work with me and maybe that would like I would like vibe strategically with.
God, Rob, I don't know, because when I was trying to do my short little study on you in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
So apparently you lied like every minute in Amazon. And that's
I lied to the people we weren't working with.
No, but you were working with Heidi and Jenna. God, help me out, Rob.
Jenna.
Oh my gosh, how could I not remember Jenna's name? All right, that Jenna did not want to take you to the final two,
right?
Because she didn't trust you.
Because she didn't want to vote out Heidi ever.
Oh yeah, but Heidi was already gone because I thought it was between you and the other guy,
Matt. Well, she voted me out at the end. She didn't want to go. She didn't want to go to the end with me.
Yeah, but it looked like, was it Butch that went to the end with her?
No, Matt.
Matt. Oh, Lordy. Okay, Matt. So, but I was trying to look and read why she didn't go with you, and I don't remember her saying.
I think she was going to lose.
Say she that you were strategic.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, okay. So, yeah. But my point is. For these players that have watched all these other seasons, except for Brad have fallen for you, hook, line, sinker. Mm-hmm. Brad wouldn't know any better. But for all these players that know that you're a very strategic player and that you might throw in a little twisty-turny story every now and
yeah.
then, could you be trusted?
Excuse me, T-Bird. Let me ask you, when Lex says, I got a gut feeling, something's not right. Somebody voted for me. And you're like, don't know anything about that.
Well, he didn't ask me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
he's like, I know it's not you, T-Bird.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm like, anybody saying
that's a lie of omission, Teresa.
Okay. Yeah, but okay. Uh-oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get you. But Rob, from what I saw with you, that you even said this to your mom when she yeah. came out to the yes. island for the family, that you had been a bad boy. That's what you said to your mama. I was a bad boy. Because I've been lying.
I don't think I ever described myself as a bad boy in the bad boy of podcasting, perhaps. But I definitely did not say to my mom, I've been a bad boy.
Well, okay. Well, maybe
I said I've been bad. There. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? I know in the game it's hard to know, but that's just it. Like with what happened to Brad, you want to trust people so bad,
Brad boy.
And you have to have. You had a life. I'm just saying, like Brad learned, he thought he could trust Shan. Of course, he could trust Jeannie, and mm-hmm. it completely backfired. Because if he'd have kept all his knowledge to himself, I got a feeling JD would have been the one you had interviewed today instead of Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Just a gut feeling. I'm going mm-hmm. there.
Okay. All right. Alex Trias wants to know, what does T-Bird think about the beware advantage where it might be easier to find them, but they come with the risk of losing your vote and becoming essentially powerless in the game? Would you open a beware advantage? I think Alex makes a good point, and what I hadn't really thought about yet was, you know, people are like, oh, now the idols are just laying there in the camp. It's so easy. But it's like, yeah, it is. But it's also kind of like a landmine of like, yeah, they want you to find it, but also something bad is going to happen to you.
I think with the A-type personalities that casting loves to cast, I can't think of very many people that wouldn't grab anything, even if it says beware. Now, I would grab it. Absolutely. Now, would I grab it now after, you know, with the way that Uwa's being slowly taken out, would I grab it now? I don't know. But I would grab it for sure if I was Luvu and I just saw beware, you got to follow me like, oh, no problem. I got this. I'd grab it. And JD's going to grab it too. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
JD's going to be the one that's going to grab it next. Wouldn't you, Rob? Isn't that our personalities to risk it? Didn't we just risk together the song that Michael had us do?
We risked it.
That's how we do.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. T-Bird. So, Allie Maudlin wants to know, what does T-Bird think are the odds that a woman is going to win this season?
Oh, God, Allie. I think absolutely. Again, from the very beginning of this podcast, I said Liana is my winner pick. And I think there's some strong women right there beside her.
Sure.
A lot are strong. And again, a couple I hadn't even really seen yet. So I think it's a very, very good chance we're going to see a woman win this season. Rob?
Okay.
Answer Allie's question. What are you thinking?
I mean, that I would love to see a woman win this season of Survivor because I want Survivor to be fair. Like, I'm not coming at it from a perspective of, like, you know, being, like, anti-men. Like, I would love to see, you know, a world where half the time a man wins and half the time a woman wins. And it's gotten so lopsided where that a woman hasn't won Survivor in, you know, going on, you know, 4 years and change, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was 2017 when Sarah Lucina won the game.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think of that. But Allie, again, looking at the strong women that we have out there and some of the women we're yet to even see their social game, but I know they've got a good social game, especially on the Louvie tribe. Sydney, I don't know about you yet. We'll have to wait and see next week. But I think that Heather and Erica are going to have a really strong social game. And you know, this is game. I think this game is more of a social game. I mean, I know you have to be smart on how you play, like, and know the game, like Shannon Ricard and Effie, how they know the game. But that's why I still think Liana, my winner pick, is a good one. It's a good one for this season. Who's your winner pick, Rob?
I picked Ricard.
You picked Ricard? Oh, yeah. That's a great pick. Mm-hmm. That's a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Ricard's not going to be mad that I didn't pick him. I think that's a great pick. And you know,
I don't think he's going to be mad at you, T-Bird.
I don't, maybe you won't. But I know the first episode he came out so strong and that we're not seeing him much anymore because I know he's out there and I know he's making things happen. Makes me think, I think he's going to go deep into the game.
Mm-hmm.
I really think he will.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a good winner's pick.
Okay. So T-Bird. Let's take a question from Josh Green, who says, T-Bird and Rob, first, I want to say thank you for all the incredible interviews during this most recent season of Talking with T-Bird. Some of the biggest legends and amazing interviews helped me and many others get through the pandemic. My question for T-Bird, does she see any parallel in Brad to Frank Garrison? I feel their trust in people is similar, as well as both players and not being the most socially aware. Is that a comparison you would make, T-Bird?
Oh, Josh, there's a part of me that you asked that so beautifully, but I really don't, Josh. I know as far as Brad seems to be more of a social player.
Mm-hmm.
Frank's not really much of a people person. He's more of he's a hunter where Brad's a rancher. I think Frank.
He likes who he likes.
You know, he likes who he likes, but Frank's one of those. I think he'd want to be out hunting in a tree somewhere with nobody else around. That's what he likes, the quiet. I know he's got a family of a lot of daughters and his beautiful wife, Polly. But when it comes to a social game, they knew exactly what they were doing when they cast Frank. Where Brad seems happy-go-lucky, I wouldn't consider Frank happy-go-lucky at all. He's, you know, so, no, I don't really see the Josh. I want to say I see a parallel, but I don't so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then let me take this question for you. And this is one from Alex Trias also wants to know, how hard would T-Bird fight for the immunity win if the reward was popcorn instead of fruit?
Well, believe it or not, Alex, I'd be fighting a little bit harder if it was rice.
Rice?
I actually broke my... Yes, rice. Rice, yes. Something substantial, something that fills you up because Actually, Alex, I broke my tooth in Africa on a piece of corn kernel thing, because we were so hungry that I was just chewing on the things that didn't pop, the kernels that didn't pop, and I broke my tooth. So, yeah, probably not so hard. Fruit, definitely, definitely better, 100%. Mm. But rice, like, for example, Alex, I'll tell you, when they were going and deciding on that tarp, I was thinking, all right, I don't think it's rained any since I've been there. It looks like they're sleeping close to they're on the beach, sleeping close to the water. I think I would have upped the ante up and offered them rice instead of the tarp. So, but yeah, I definitely would have been a fan more of the fruit than the popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, T-Bird, then let me ask you a question from Eli Leggett, who says, hey, T-Bird, my question is, what was the first interaction you had post-Survivor that made you realize, oh, people really watched me and rooted for me and I'm a household name now?
I didn't really think that way. Only, mm-hmm. Let me just tell you why. Back when Africa was on, there were so many other things going on in the world.
Yeah.
That it wasn't like season, Borneo and Australia, where they were catapulted to mega fame. Africa was very sedate and slow. And, I noticed it. I live in a really small town. So I noticed, that once it aired, how cool that was that my small town here rallied. But as far as anything other than that, I've always thought, it's just something that I got to do that I'm so blessed that I've gotten to do. But as far as that, I just don't think it was like seasons one and two were. I mean, Rob, would you agree to that with you for Amazon? I mean, All-Stars definitely threw you back out there, which that was a big deal. The mm-hmm. All-Stars was a big deal. But did you feel that way with Amazon once you came out? I mean, things were kind of getting back a little bit to whatever normal is, I guess.
No, I mean, it's definitely to a Survivor fan, yes, but to the average person, I'm not sure if people were anybody else besides the first two seasons, were a household name.
Yeah, and you know what, Eli, it's interesting too, because even now for me, remember when I played, I was a mature adult, so, I think it might be different. And Rob, you're a perfect one to answer this, because Rob, you played when you were 24, and I played when I was 40. So for me, I had a lot of cool things, a lot of cool life experiences as far as, a lot of stuff. You know, I haven't had my children. I've got a career that I've done for many years that I love. So for me, a lot didn't change. I just went out there, was gone for almost, a month and a half, to play this amazing social game that I, was fascinated with. I majored in psychology. So for me, I didn't have expectations. And I think that has something to do with it. When you have expectations, your life's going to change in all these ways. I didn't. And it didn't change. So probably I think that makes it easier to balance things back. I think even Rick Devons and Brendan Shapiro and I were talking about that, because we all played where we had families, kids at home. So we kind of went back to whatever our normal was. And I think as far as emotionally, I think that's probably healthier. Mm-hmm. But Rob, you tell me, you were 24 and you had studied the game of Survivor mm-hmm. and wrote your thesis on it in college. How about for you to go and get to the final three? I mean, It had to be a total different experience for you at your age than it was for me at my age.
It was a dream come true to go and to play in the show. Like, I had spent basically the last 3 years of my life dedicating it to. So to actually go and be there and be part of it, it was just mind blowing for me personally. It wasn't really about the recognition. It was just this was my dream to go do this. And it was going to fantasy camp.
And how was it for you, Rob? Because this didn't happen, but you turned around 5 months later, like we've seen people do on these seasons here the last few years and go right back in play.
Well, not exactly. I went back like a year, almost like a year later. Like I went back 5 months after the show ended. But, you know, basically like I went to go play Survivor like at the end of October, 2 years in a row.
Oh, okay. So it was a little bit longer than who did we do, Rob, with Talking with T-Bird that it was Sandra. That was home for what, 5 days?
And yeah, I mean, yeah, from, between 39 and 40. Stephanie LaGrossa was right, somebody that okay. we talked to and also had that.
So you had time to actually acclimate yourself back.
Yeah, yeah. I had a reality. Whole lifetime in between when I played in, you know, season 6 and season 8.
Okay. So, Rob, would you have met Nicole? Because I found it interesting that you met her at through your sister Lisa at mm-hmm. a viewing party at your house. If you hadn't have been on Survivor, that probably wouldn't have happened, or would it?
Well, she wouldn't have been married to me. Like, I knew her because she was my sister's friend, but, you know, she wasn't interested before somebody was on television.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got the girl.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get a lot of dates once I went on Survivor, but it turns out I only got one.
Yeah, but, well, you married her, so mm-hmm. I guess it worked out okay. Mm-hmm.
It worked out, yeah. So some days better than others.
When you got back,
yeah.
Hey, so Rob, when you got back from All-Stars and you didn't fare as well as you wanted to, which is she like, uh-uh, you didn't, mm-mm, I'm done.
No. She stayed with me long after that. So I tested her and then made sure, like, I was unemployed for a number of years following Survivor to make sure she wasn't just with me for that sweet Survivor money, T-Bird. Made sure I was broke for a long time just to test her.
Oh, and Rob, I know she's been a huge support system for you. You both are very, very blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. T-Bird, Matt Scott wants to know, based on their epic life stories, who would T-Bird have the most fun introducing on Talking with T-Bird? So I think Matt might be saying somebody.
Nasir.
Who? Nasir. Oh, yeah.
I love his background.
Yeah.
All right. So
what
you know
about a non-survivor?
Oh, a non-survivor? Well, wait, I was going to say either Ricard and Nasir, but then Jeannie, here I go. There's so many. Brad.
Yeah, let's get off of Survivor for a second.
All right. What's the question? Okay, so Matt, say the question again, Matt. I'm sorry.
Who's Paul McCartney? Who's your dream guest?
Oh, my gosh. Gosh, I need some. Okay. Oh, gosh, Matt, you know what's going to happen after we finish this podcast? I'm like, God, T-Bird, you know who you knew you were going to say and you didn't even think of him to say it. All right, give me a minute. We'll go into something else, but I'm going to still be thinking about it.
Okay. All right.
Who's my Paul McCartney?
Mm-hmm. All right, T-Bird, let me ask you about another question we got today. Okay. So.
Okay.
This is from Nathan HWLL. He posted this on TikTok. I asked people, send us a question for T-Bird. And he commented, what is T-Bird's reaction to Sandra potentially being on Australian Survivor after you both seemingly just interviewed her? First off, can I respond to what's with the seemingly? Like, did we not just interview her? Did we tape that interview like a year ago? Why are we getting shade?
Hold it a minute.
Yeah.
Nathan, I got a bigger question for Nathan. Is she going to be on Australian Survivor? Because I didn't even know.
That's T-Bird. So T-Bird, that's a rumor. There's a rumor going around.
Well, I don't even. I'm out in left field. So no.
Yes, great question. But yes, no, we did. T-Bird cannot lie, only to Lex. When did we record the interview with Sandra?
I have to get my, the week before Survivor started. So Survivor started.
I remember it well. The day was September 15th, 2021. And I remember it well because the night before into the morning was when I finished the frickin' 40 season countdown.
Yes! You were up till 3 in the morning
yes.
doing that.
So,
and then we did Sandra. That's right.
Yes. And,
that's exactly right.
And do you remember, T-Bird, that we talked with Sandra about casting and how her daughter had gone to casting?
Yeah. Yes, we did. So I'm confused here, which doesn't take much. Is Nathan, are you saying, sweetie, that we missed something with Sandra, that she's going to be on Australian Survivor and she didn't tell us?
Well, in the last 48 hours, T-Bird, there's been rumors that Sandra is going to be on a Australian Survivor season that is going to be filming, and it's a blood versus water season.
Oh, that means she's going to have a family member with her.
Mm-hmm. Potentially,
okay, so you want me to comment on that?
Sure.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. T-Bird, would you go play Australian Survivor?
Rob, I'm embarrassed to say this. I have never watched Australian Survivor, and I know what everybody's thinking.
I'm not sure Sandra is watching a bunch of Australian Survivor before.
Well, she's going to be like Brad when she gets out there.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to know what's happening if it plays any different than this one here.
The Sandra's played enough Survivor that you put her in any country, she knows what to do.
Alan, you got a good point there. That absolutely. That mm-hmm. is an excellent point.
It's not that different.
I don't know. Okay, so this is going to sound crazy what I'm about to say. All right, I haven't watched Australian Survivor, although I hear it is. I've had people that send me messages, people that I know pretty well through the Survivor community, saying you have to watch it. It's fantastic. I know it is. Only if it's just something else to try to keep up with and follow that, you know, as far as my work schedule and everything. Would you do it, Rob?
Would I go be on Australian Survivor?
I know you can't do it with Dominic yet. In a few years, you can. Would you go do it?
I mean,
with Nicole?
Yeah, I think I actually probably have a better chance on Australian Survivor than I do on regular Survivor.
Because why? They don't know you?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that didn't come out right. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Are you saying because they don't, like me, maybe a lot of them don't watch it, kind of like Brad didn't watch the U.S. Survivor mm-hmm. before he went out there? Are you saying, like, are they going to know who Sandra is out there?
I think they probably have a good chance to, you know who Sandra is. I think very few people would know who I was.
But that's a good thing.
That would be a right? positive for me. On the downside, it's like 50 days. It's twice as long as U.S. Survivor.
I know, but, well, it now, because it's at 26 days, but before at 39 days, mm-hmm. it wasn't that far from 50.
Yeah.
You can handle that. That's not a problem for you.
I guess not.
But didn't Russell
made a short trip to Australia.
Well, oh, he was on it, but they had heard about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they moved him out of there pretty fairly.
It was a quick trip. Yeah.
How quick was it?
48 hours, 72 hours, real quick.
You know what?
Quick turnaround.
So that's interesting. So would you say that more people over in Australia Survivor watch ours over here than we watch theirs over there?
I think that's probably fair to say, because I think that the U.S. Survivor, I think, still airs in Australia. I mean, we have a lot of Australian fans in the RHAP community.
Yeah, we do. I
Whereas
do that.
The
I do that.
Americans, you know, we got to like get the links, although it is on Paramount Plus now. So hopefully there'll be more awareness of Australian Survivor to U.S. audiences now that it's easier to access.
Right. So Sandra, you know what? I love Sandra. She puts herself out there. She doesn't care. She's going to have fun with it. And she's going to go out there and she's going to play just the way she plays. And
yeah.
she'll probably stay in the game a long time, too, because she's savvy.
She has a chance to do really well,
threat.
I think. Yeah.
I think she. So are we pretty much saying that she's in this?
Yeah.
Nathan, is she in this?
Three-peat coming up.
So this is. Oh, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
So this is confirmed.
I mean, I don't know if it's confirmed. That's what the rumor mill is saying right now.
Well, see, now I'm going to definitely have to watch it if our girl Sandra's on it.
Yeah, I mean,
it must.
I don't even think they started filming it yet. I think it's still a ways away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be fun. Yeah. That's going to be exciting.
So that's one of the rumors happening right now. Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. T-Bird, like, did you figure out like your Paul McCartney?
No, I'm looking at Matt's thing right now. Matt, I want to give you something good. No, you want to ask me anything else? I'm still thinking about it.
Okay. Let's see. How about a question of from Kyle Stolov? If each tribe was a soup, which soup would they be and why?
Okay. Well, okay. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, one's got to be broccoli soup.
Yes. Cream because, of broccoli.
You know, cream of broccoli.
I mean,
so I'm going to say
they are the green tribe. Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to be the broccoli. Cream of broccoli.
Yeah.
Cream. Ua's going to be cream of broccoli. Okay, the Yassa tribe is going to be... Let's go with... Let me look. Oh, gosh. What kind of soup do you want the Yassa tribe to be?
Well...
Clam chowder.
Okay. Any particular reason?
I don't know. Because I like it.
Okay.
And I can't think of anything else. I'm trying to think of who I'm going to interview for Matt right now. Now I had to switch gears into soup. So I'm going to go with cream of New England clam chowder.
New England clam chowder. Okay.
And then for Luvu, who we don't know much about yet, I'm going to go with... Oh, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
You want to jump in here?
I mean, all my brain goes to is just trying to make puns with like Sydney bean soup.
Sydney bean soup. Okay. That's good. Okay. I'm looking. That's good.
All right.
Sydney bean
soup. All right. How about this question? Eliza wants to know, T-Bird, which one of these lovely Survivor 41 contestants would you most like to sing a duet with? Who do you think shares your positive outlook?
Oh, gosh. I think Erica.
Erica? You love Erica. Yeah. You're going to sing with her or Erica shares your outlook?
I think I'm going to sing with Erica too, because she's got that warm, wonderful smile that just pulls you in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll sing with Erica.
All right.
And she's a, yeah, Erica.
All right. T-Bird. Do you have a dream interview? It's okay if you don't.
I'm thinking about. I want to, because I know I do. And I guess the stupid question is they need to be living, right?
If it will help you, you can have somebody who is not living.
Okay. It will help me, although I'm sure it's not what Matt was hoping for. Matt, do you know, I remember this from however many years ago when I did my Survivor application.
Mm-hmm.
Who I admired, you know, I don't know how the question was, who I admired, and there were so many reasons. It was Kennedy Onassis, Jackie O.
Okay.
For so many reasons, her being in the spotlight with Kid, just everything that I always thought she was such a strong, amazing woman for everything that she went through and how she carried herself. And so, Matt... Hopefully you will send me a private message so I can give you someone that's living. But for now, I'm going to say Jackie Kennedy Onassis. Onassis Kennedy Erstall. Okay, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. T-Bird. We're
hey,
still going to sing.
Do you know who you told me?
Yeah, who did I tell you?
We're going to sing. Okay. Remember who you told me that you wanted to interview? I still remember.
Who was it? Colleen Haskell?
You don't remember?
Yeah.
No, Greg not Buist? Survivor person.
Not a survivor person.
Take your survivor hat off.
Was it Jerry Seinfeld?
Take your survivor hat off. Nope, it wasn't.
Who was it?
Larry David.
Oh, okay. Close enough.
Isn't that how you told me you wanted?
I mean, that would,
I
he,
think
you know,
Larry
the,
David.
The difference is, I think that Larry David would probably give you a better interview, but Jerry wouldn't be bad. I mean, he's not going to tell you anything interesting about Seinfeld, but like he asks him about a bunch of other things and he'll say, give you some good stuff.
All right. If we're talking about somebody that's going to give you some good stuff. Okay. Let me just take somebody now because I'm not sure Matt's going to DM me later. Jeff Probst.
Okay.
Jeff Probst. I mean, I'm trying to think of people that have done so many amazing things in their life and that have come through difficult times. So, and of course, I'm not saying Jeff. So I'm thinking so hard and nothing's coming to me right now. So I'm going to say Jeff Probst because, Rob, we both have this love of the game. And obviously he does too, since he's been involved with it for 41 minus four. Did I say that right? 41 seasons minus the four. And
well, I wouldn't say minus again. I think to lose the four. Minus four gets us back to season 37, which is a good season.
Okay. I got to stop saying that at all because clearly I'm messing it up. It's kind of like Brad talking about the cauliflower thing. It's just hard to get it right. But he'd be somebody if you could get, and I think we talked about this on a podcast earlier, if you could get him to really open up about so many things just from his personal life and what he's gone through with the game and everything, he'd be fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say Jeff Probst for now. But Matt, you can still DM me and I'll come up with, you know, somebody else.
Okay. All right. T-Bird. Well, incredible job all the way through between the survivor analysis and then also the amazing intro to the podcast. That this is one I'm never going to forget.
Well, Rob, like I had mentioned earlier, you actually needed a whole podcast to yourself. But it happened this way, the way it happened, and I'm so glad it did.
It was meant to happen this way.
It was meant to happen, but you know, I know we could have done. I could have done another. I mean, you do, by the way, have a fascinating background. And talking to your mom, Roseanne, today just reinforced what you did and how you knew what you wanted to do from such a young age. And your mom says you just, most kids, especially, she said you were like 2 and 3 and you knew it. That's what you wanted to do. And that's impressive.
Yeah. Well,
it's real impressive.
Let's not give me too much credit. Like what I ultimately did is something that like wasn't even invented for like 25 more years. So, you know, I did want to mimic what I was seeing on television.
Well, that's not exactly true.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it was a form. It was definitely a form, you know, of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, broadcasting and television and, you know, it's still, I don't know. I think it's very closely related seeing that you're having a birthday here in a
couple of weeks.
Not even a couple of weeks. So anyway, I do want to close out with this because I thought this was just really, really neat. I asked your mom. I loved your mom, by the way, Rob.
I get that.
I loved your mom. I asked her what stands out to her about your family visit together when she came out.
Yes,
to the Amazon.
She came to the Amazon.
On the island. She did. And this is what she said. You know, a lot of times I think she said when people watch the family visits, they think it's, I don't know if a lot of people think this, but she said sometimes people think it's kind of hokey when they cry. And she said that, you know, a lot of times a lot of people think that Rob's not sensitive. But she said that both of y'all were really emotional to see each other out there, which, you know, when you're taken away from everything, of course, to see your mom and for your mom to see you, especially that since she thought you were going to might be physically hurt out there. I'm sure that was strong for her to see you. But she said that if it was such an unreal experience that if you ever get a chance to go all the way around the world for a hug, she highly recommends it. She said she traveled for 8 days just to spend 20 minutes with you on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And she would do it again. She would do it again. It was really a very nice thing she was saying. And she said, and this is the way I'll close this, because I think as a mom and you're a dad, you can relate to this now with your boys. But she said that she's got a picture of you and her together when y'all were on the island.
Yes.
And she's got it hanging on the wall. And she said, She taps it every night when she's going to bed. She taps it, and she said, just like Carol Burnett when she pulls her ear, that's even though she doesn't see you as much as she wants to, that's a reminder of that time y'all had together. So I think that is
beautiful. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful. That's the way I want to. Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Roseanne. You're amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, T-Bird, for that, because that really was very special. Thank you very much for sharing that with me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you for all you do for us, Rob.
Yeah.
All the listeners and everybody you touched. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but it's a great privilege to get to do what I do. So thank you, but also like to everybody that's listening, thank you for letting me do it, because it's we have a lot of fun talking about all these things that we love. T-Bird. Of course, people can follow you on Twitter, at T-Bird Cooper, on the Instagram. You do such an amazing job all through talking with T-Bird. By the way, if you go to robswebsite.com/T-Bird, no hyphen, you can listen to all of the Talking with T-Bird interviews. But you do such a great job of highlighting all of the different interviews that we do. What did you do for Sandra? You were riding a horse like a queen?
Oh, yes. Okay, so when I knew we were doing Sandra, I'm like, not only is this the end of season two, it's Sandra, the queen. And I mean, what a legacy she's got. It's crazy. I told Glenn, I'll tell Glenn ideas I'll come up with, and he'll be like, no, you're not. So, but when I came up with that and I told him, it's like, I said, baby, it has to be. I have to be on a horse doing something, because it's the queen. And it just, so I had a lot of fun doing that. And it just reminded me of Sandra and part of her legacy. It just made sense to me. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. I had fun with that one.
All right. T-Bird, I'm going to be catching up with a friend of ours from Talking with T-Bird. I'm going to catch up with Gandia on Friday.
Oh, dear Lord, Gandia. That is going to be fun.
Yes. So
you are going to have a good time.
We'll have fun. So, yes. Gandhi is pumped up.
Oh, gosh. Those of you that did not listen to our Talking with T-Bird with Gandia, that one got a lot of hits. People really, really enjoyed Gandia.
Mm-hmm.
And I know her recap is going to be fantastic. No holds barred.
Yeah.
She's going to tell you just what she's thinking.
Yep. And then we're going to talk some survivor feedback even more with Peridium coming up on Saturday. Peridium does a great YouTube channel, lots of great videos about Survivor and Big Brother. So get your feedback questions in with Peridium. Of course, you can send in voicemails at robswebsite.com/voicemail. And then on Monday night, I will be with David Bloomberg, of a co-host of the YX Lost podcast, to take your patron questions with the patrons of Rob's podcast at robswebsite.com/patron for the Survivor Q&A at 7 p.m. on Monday night.
Very good. You're busy. You're a busy guy.
Plus, Rob and Akiva need a podcast that I'm going to be talking Squid Game with Chappelle on Nothing But Netflix. Josh Wigler will be our guest for that. So lots of big stuff coming up this week. Plus, a lot of Big Brother 23 interviews that we dropped this week. It's all happening, T-Bird.
You're the busiest man I know in podcasting.
Mm-hmm. In podcasting, sure.
That's for sure.
T-Bird, of course. We said we were going to close out this episode singing your theme song.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We did say that.
All right. So I'm going to play the Will from America version of the theme song. Okay?
Okay. So are we singing?
I believe so. Will's... Okay?
So all we're right. singing with Will?
Yes, with Will. Okay. The me, you, and Will to end the show.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening,
Thank
everybody.
You, Rob.
And now let's let Will from America take it away.
If you stay here and listen, your mind won't ever be the same. Because we're talking with T-Bird now. Miss T-Bird, you cannot change.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.